Thank you so much.
Thank you, man. Awesome. Okay. Grab your seats, guys. Wow. Thank you. Man, I'll tell you what, you guys are pumped up. This was exciting tonight. It was worth the ride. Just that worship time together was way worth the ride. See, when you're in fellowship with God, you're never just stuck in traffic anyway. It was kind of quite comical because I never experienced anything like it. I was going 2 miles in 10 minutes. It was like, oh my goodness. I mean, for a while, I thought I was just going to be late to the house. And then I started thinking, I'm not even making the service. There was one point where I didn't think I would get here till about 8, the way things were looking. And then the sea opened up. And oh, dear Jesus. But, wow. No, it's fun to be here. I'll tell you exactly how it happened that I called Mike. I only had a couple weeks left. I wasn't in a hurry to schedule this year. 2 years ago, I had my whole schedule scheduled before the year turned. I had the whole following next year scheduled. Last year, I slowed down a little, and it was a little later. I had like 2 weeks hanging on or so. But this week, I had no intentions of scheduling. I was going to keep it open because I'm leaving early Monday morning with my wife for 16 days together. We're just going to go visit family out west. And I thought, you know, I didn't want to get on an airplane and go somewhere and then fly in Sunday, you know, and go to bed and jump right back up at 4:30 in the morning. And when I saw this, I had just come from Pastor Mark's place and met a bunch of beautiful folks and had a great weekend. And we just had fun, didn't we, hanging out. And honestly, I'm not saying this to win your favor, win your heart. I wouldn't talk cheap like that. I had Connecticut on my heart. I was excited about the weekend. And I was just came from Connecticut. So when I read yours, I was like, wonder how far away they are. Remember I called you and I asked you how far away this location was from you because something felt right when I read it. I was like, you know, God's strategic. He sows seed, you know, he does stuff. So I'm thinking, I'm not just thinking go to invites. I was thinking strategic. I was like, I think I'm to come here. I think I've got to call this fella. And I thought, I looked at my calendar and I thought, you know what? I was going to leave this weekend open, but it's just not big of a deal. I can drive up here and hopefully drive home. I was thinking, Lord Jesus, I'm going to have to leave Saturday at midnight to catch a plane on Monday morning. But the guys live in a traffic area, man. I was like, Lord Jesus. But hopefully I'll get back Sunday. And then I'll pack my bags and my wife and I'll take off. But I thought that in my heart, I thought, you know what? So I called and I shared that because I was just over there and now I came here. So it just felt right in my heart. So that's why I'm here. I really, honestly, it's not all super spiritual when I go to most places. It's just I have a yes unless I hear no. And he said, go ye therefore. And there's folks there. So why wouldn't God want to go? You know, that's how simple I am. Like, honestly, I have had over 350 invites this year so far. Just because of that crazy internet, which is a blessing. I mean, it's amazing how the word gets out. But I had 16 invites in my mailbox the last two little trips I went up and grabbed my mail out of the office just in the last few days. And I'm like, this is off the hook. What do you do with that? So people say, how do you handle all those invites? It's not a real spooky spiritual thing. You just go where you want to go and you schedule your schedule till it's filled. And if Jesus doesn't say no, it's a yes. Most of us are listening for a yes. Do you want me to go pray for that person? Yes! Do you want me to love them? Do you want me to forgive them? It's a yes and amen gospel. And you really got to walk close to Jesus because sometimes you think you hear no and it's just your own apprehensions, fear, and hesitations. A lot of times it's not no at all. You know, like, do you want me to love my wife? Well, not right now. You know, wait till she changes. No, love her now. And you'll see the beauty of her change for her own heart's sake, not your sake. You know, did you catch that? I'm going to get you all weekend, man. I'm going to get you all weekend. Listen, we're on the planet for one reason, to look like our Father. Now, see, I was thinking something when we were singing these songs. I was thinking, you know what? If you don't understand the good news of the gospel, if you really don't understand the good news, it's hard to truly enter in to the rejoicing that's in these songs because you'll have other things in your mind like, you know, everybody's happy and you're trying to be happy, but you got so much stuff going on or you got so many other things or questions or why God or... And if you don't have a clear theology and a clear understanding of why God has sent his son, it's hard to sing those songs and really truly rejoice. And you're not even sure what's good about the good news because you're looking at your life and your life's speaking louder than truth. And it's really important that you just don't make this all about you, but it's all about him in you and through you in the midst of it all. And I got thinking about how important it is to have a single eye. To have a single eye. You know, I mean, something as silly as sitting in traffic, you could be all caught up in spooky spirits and be like, what did I do wrong? Why did I deserve this? Where's your grace, God? Why am I stuck here? I'm a son. My car should lift up and ride above the traffic. God, you should translate me. Ah, Shabba. And all of a sudden you lose your joy because you're in traffic and your joy comes from your salvation. You know, we have to be very careful we don't use God for a better life or think that God's in our life in hopes of a better one. He's in our life to transform our life, to get us back to the reason he made man in the first place so that we can walk in agreement with the grace that's on the earth to empower us to be everything he predestined us to be. How this gospel become a prayer to go to heaven or an answer for blessings and just more and prosperity. I'm not a poverty guy. I'm just humble and content in some things. But yes, God blesses and yes, God will give you a new job. But you don't spend all your faith and your whole life and all your disposition waiting for things to fall in place. They're already in place. Christ is in you. So on your worst circumstantial day, you can shine light. In the biggest face of injustice, you can make peace and show mercy and walk in love. You don't have to be a broken basket case on a prayer list somewhere because somebody did you wrong. You can understand why Christ is inside of you. You follow me? Well, we're just going to let life make us live this way, and then we got more questions than answers. And instead of loving God, we're kind of confused about God, maybe even a little ticked off. See, I want a theology that doesn't even understand being mad at God. Why was yet a sinner, he sent his son. When I was lost and confused, and even after I had some understanding, who got some understanding in this room? And after you got some understanding, you still walk some other way. Well, thank God he ain't ticked off. Thank God he didn't say, oh, you bunch of knuckleheads, you obstinate stiff necks. I give you truth and you still don't want to walk in it. I guess nobody's really going to love me. I guess I'll forget you. I'll find a new friend. Come on, that's people. That's not God. Watch, that's not just people. That's people that are deceived, thinking for themselves, living for themselves, and making it all about themselves at the expense of everything that they're on the earth for. You guys with me? Come on, I'm going to bring it. I'm a happy guy, but man, I talk sharp. It cuts. And I do it with a smile. It's awesome. It's the anointing on my life. Your heart will get dissected and circumcised. And I will talk so clear that even if you're mad at me and even if you don't like my personality, there's no way you'll be able to talk yourself out of what I'm saying. You'll just have to say, I don't want that. I'm serious because I'm not going to talk in riddles. And God wants it that way. People come into church to contest, and I'm not saying I feel that in this room. It wouldn't matter if I did. It doesn't change the truth. I'm in love, and you ain't going to change this. So it just doesn't matter. Look, you can shoot me, and I'm not going to die. My family would just miss me for a little. That's all. You can shoot me, and I won. I already won. Christ came, rose from the dead. I've given him my life. I've been washed in the blood. The train's rolling. You can't stop it. You can kill me, shoot me with a .44 right now, and you can't win. I'm never going to die. Yay! That's amazing. Now, see, you think that's just pompous talk, but I was in a church where the police undercover surrounded me because there was threats and concerns and fears, and they didn't know if I was going to make it out of there. I said, I'll make it out of here. Nobody's protecting me. Disperse this thing. Don't make a scene. This isn't, you guys have a place in society. This ain't the place. I said, let's just see if they can kill me. Because even if it looks like they did, they didn't. See, I'm just done living in fear. Amen. I'm called to live by faith, not live in fear. I'm not a Christian for my sake. Amen. I'm a Christian for his name's sake and for yours. Amen. And if that costs me my life, then so be it. It costs Jesus. I thought I read something about denying myself, picking my cross and following him. Amen. Singing to him's a lot of fun. You all found that out tonight. But we're not called just to sing to him. We're called to follow him. I'm following him. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to pick up my cross and follow him. You know what that means? Don't take life personal. Take the reason you're on the earth personal. Stop taking people personal and making people Lord and then singing to Jesus that he is. Stop letting people decide who you are. All of a sudden, we're no stronger than the weakness around us. We have three excuses for not being where we should be, but none of those reasons are Lord. And all of a sudden, we realize, I told you I was going to preach to you. I sat in traffic all that time, I could think about it. I actually never think about it. I just get up here and just have fun. I can't get off my notes because I don't have any. It can't possibly be a rabbit trail. We'll just figure we're following the Lord. And if I take a five-minute tangent and just rescue one heart, one thought pattern, answer one question in the room, don't you think God will leave 99 to go to one for a moment? So I just don't think there's too much distraction going on here tonight. Don't feel distracted. Actually, I'm pretty happy. You guys bless me tonight. This worship team's ridiculous. You guys are awesome. I mean, the dude gives up his guitar and just goes off, man. I'm like, it was so good. I don't know what was going on there. I don't know if his string broke. I don't know if he just got happy and wanted the mic, but where is he? Where's the guy that bless you. And you guys they just flowed like one, didn't they? That's so awesome, but bless your hearts. Oh, my goodness. I had fun. You guys were tearing it up. Okay. You guys ready? Come on. Let's preach. I was just saying hi. Proverbs. Proverbs 4 says something. It says in all you're getting. It doesn't say in some. It says in all. That's pretty important. It doesn't say in some of you're getting. And it doesn't say blessing. And don't hear that I'm against blessing. I'm against you thinking that your Christianity is purposed for you to just go after blessing. You are so blessed. Amen. That he put you on this planet. You're so blessed that he sent his son, raised him from the dead. We got to be thankful and learn to see the blessing in this gospel. Sometimes we just think it's our needs being met. Some of our needs become wants and distracts us and stuff. Man, Paul said in Philippians 4 that, man, I'm content in any situation. I've learned how to be okay because I know why I am who I am in him. You get it? He said, there's times that I don't have enough and there's times I have more than enough. And in both, I'm the same. Now, that's not the Christianity I've seen growing up. When we have enough, we think we're riding high and spiritual and got favor and everything's right. When we don't have enough, we got 20 questions, concerns, confusion. Why are you letting this happen to me? What door did I open? What am I doing wrong? Why is the devil doing this? Why are you allowing this? And then suddenly in that language, we prove that we don't really understand who we are and why. We're just trying to use God to get through. And we do appreciate him. I'm not saying we use him and don't appreciate him. We appreciate Jesus died on the cross. But all of a sudden, it's just about our sins being forgiven instead of our lives, hearts, and motives transformed. Amen. If we didn't have a different way of thinking, he wouldn't have come and said, he's the way. He wouldn't have took a whole chapter to say, you say, but I say. You say, but I say. Amen. Matthew 5, the whole chapter is, you have heard it said, but I say. Illustration after illustration of how the language on the earth is opposite of what he's saying. Amen. You've heard it in your everyday life. Don't get your hopes up. Right. Bible says get your hopes sky high. Right. It says faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hebrews 6 says that hope is the anchor of your soul. It passes through the veil into his presence. Amen. And you grew up here and don't get your hope up. And the Bible says get your hope up. Amen. You grew up here and what you don't know won't. See, I knew they talked like that here. I knew it. You already knew what I was saying because they talked that language all over the earth. Right. We were homeschooled in the wrong home. Amen. We were homeschooled, wrong home, wrong curriculum. Amen. Wisdom of the world, basic principles of life, philosophy, traditions of men. It says it'll hold you captive and take you plunder. What you don't know won't. Bible says what you don't know is destroying you. That's a drastic difference. That's a drastic difference. Your whole life you heard what you don't know won't hurt you. And the Bible screaming out, what you don't know is killing you. Taking advantage of you. What you see is, I knew they talked that way here. I knew it. It's everywhere I go. It doesn't matter where I go. They know the answers to these because the whole earth's talking this way. What you see is, Bible says, don't you ever live by what you see. Because what you see is subject to change. You live by what's unseen because it's eternal. Amen. Amen. And your whole life you've been hearing stuff like, I just quoted three of them. There's about six more that I could just rip off that you are all familiar with. Like you made your bed. Well, if we made our bed and a lion in it, probably don't look fair because I got the Spirit of God in me, the same one that raised Christ from the dead. My sins are forgiven. God will never judge me for where I've been and what I've done. It sounds like something's changed. Sounds like I'm reaping what He sowed instead of what I sowed. Sounds like He made me a new bed. I crawled in it. Now, that doesn't happen unless you repent, unless you take your life serious and repent. You don't just get this thing. You be careful about. There's a weird thing out on the thing out there in the earth on grace. There's a weird thing out there about grace. And then there's pastors that are talking too quick and throwing red flags because they're afraid. And then we label things as movements, and it's scary because be careful. There's people saying it's a grace revolution, and then there's other preachers, this is hyper grace, and there's all this stuff. No, it's just simple Jesus, finished work, good news. And I'm going to make it real clear. Because here's the deal. When people of reputation throw red flags quickly, then they put a caution every time a man hears the word grace. And then you can't even preach grace because man has a red flag. It's always been grace. You're saved by grace. You are what you are by the grace of God. Where sin abounds, grace abounds more. We beheld Him in grace and truth. Grace is all through the Bible. But let me just lay something real clear for you so you can hear me clear and so you can stay safeguarded, okay? If you hear the preaching of grace apart from transformation, it's perversion. Grace doesn't allow you to stay the same. Grace is the tool of God that makes you change. Grace is God's empowerment. Grace is God's willingness to use His power and His ability on your behalf. So to preach grace apart from transformation is perversion. And it has some old school fellas really worked up and concerned and are throwing red flags, but you run a risk of pulling you away from the grace of God. Because His grace abounds. It's always been repent for the kingdom of God is here. Repent for the king. Repent isn't, oh, I'm sorry. It's just change the way you think. Repent could look like this. Duh. Duh, what was I thinking? Duh. For 25 years, I was living for myself, trying to get everybody to love me, trying to get everybody to think something of me, trying to earn a reputation, trying to get people to praise me. For 25 years, I've been going out of my way, trying to get somebody to say you're awesome because I don't believe I am. I've been in this rat race for 25 years, and it ain't even about being loved by people. It's about me becoming loved towards people by being filled with the Spirit of God. Duh. Wow, I'm going to put this thing on and I'm going to say goodbye to offense and bitterness and anger and discouragement and frustration and jealousy and pride and comparison because I realize you didn't make me that way. I became that way when man ate the tree. I was born into the lie, but now I'm born again. All things are new because the old is surely gone. See, that's repentance. Click. Whoa. Did you get it? See, if God can change the way I see, He can change the way I be. If you're trying to change the way you be without changing the way you see, how's that working for you? Guilt, condemnation, and then given up and still going through the Christian motions, not feeling good about yourself, can't even look your eye in the mirror because you ain't for real. You heard all this teaching, it isn't your life. Now you got all this low levels condemnation stuff going on, and you're still trying to do the Christian thing to feel connected. And come on. There's more of that in the room than you can imagine. In any room I've ever been in, it's in every room. And it's not because you're bad people. It's because we're being deceived. In fact, if you were a hypocrite like you think, you wouldn't care so much. The only reason you care is because your heart's pure to the degree that you want to do right, but you feel like you can't and you aren't, and then you gray out, and instead of draw near to him and get your life changed, you live in this middle space that doesn't exist. Just being real. But here's the good news about what I'm saying. If you weren't pure inside, you wouldn't even care. So rather than cry yourself to sleep or fail to look your eye in the mirror or live that superficial lie, why don't you just get alone with God and say, my life has to be more than this. You really love me. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. This stuff is not who you are. And just separate yourself and begin to commune with him. Because the last thing you want is a Christian ringtone, screensaver, t-shirt, bumper sticker, and music to take the place of knowing him. Come on. I told you I was going to bring it. And I'm doing it with a smile. Why? Because God doesn't want to weigh you down. He's not preaching through me like this when I travel to show you where you're not. He does it to show you where you're called. You don't leave here and say, boy, that guy tore me up. I don't know if I'm even saved. Boy, I got a long way to go. That is not the mentality. That's condemnation. The devil's taught us to hear that way. Jesus said, be careful how you hear. If your heart cares, you ought to walk out here and say, boy, I got somewhere to go. Man, there's a light set on the trail. I got life in front of me. I got something to grow up into. Wow, lies are broken. I see clearer than I've seen before. God is really for me. Do you get it?
Yeah.
If you'll live that way, and you'll reach faith like a child like that and go to God that way, change your whole life. In all you're getting, get understanding. In all you're getting. In all you're getting. So we're singing these songs, and I'm thinking how powerful that is because, see, a narrow eye, if your eye, Matthew 6:22, Luke 11:34 says the eye is the lamp of the body. It's Proverbs 4 that says, in all you're getting, get understanding. Not some of you're getting. He makes it the big deal. In all you're getting, get understanding. Isn't that amazing? Is it any wonder why there's so much confusion over the years in the church and fights and arguments over theology and camps being built that God never laid the foundation to? People with angry motives, hurt motives, trying to prove something, starting ministries and doing all kinds of things that God never breathed just because we can't agree. I'm not saying every work is bad, but you can't tell me my hometown has 586 churches. You can't tell me God ordained 586 churches in my town. Sometimes it's because we're mad and frustrated and think we got it and the people around us don't, so we start up something to represent what we got. Trouble is, when God flows through you in that because he loves people, Amen. Then you project back on the thing that you stereotyped, and it actually is at the cost of your heart every time God moves. Now you think God's just moving through you because you're on page, and it actually puts you here and every other church around you here. It's not cool. See, I asked to go to the mission field years ago. I prayed and cried. If you'd have heard me, I was in my bedroom. God, send me to the mission field. I was just pastoring for a year, year and a half, two, something around there. It was a long time ago. I don't remember exactly. Don't quote me on that. After I was all done praying, I said, I'll lay my life down for the hungry. I'll go where they're hungry, God. I don't care about the food, the environment. It doesn't matter. Put it in the heart of my family and I'll take them and we'll go, God, for the gospel. And you'd have been listening thinking, that Dan is sure sold out. And after I was all done praying, the Lord said, so you'll go lay down your life for the hungry. I was like, yeah. Because I could tell I was being fathered. He said, my son laid down his life for those who despised and rejected him. He said, put your heart in the position of my son and we'll talk about these things. And I began to cry because I knew he was really correcting me. And then he said, Dan, don't you see the only reason you have a desire for the mission field is because you're frustrated with the people you're pastoring and believe they don't appreciate me and love righteousness. So your discouragement here is inspiring you here. It's not even my spirit. And if you go and do things in my name and preach my word, I'll still show up on the mission field and do things, but it'll be at the demise of your own heart because you'll look back to this group and say, see, you could have never moved there, God, because they're this, that, and this, and that. And all of a sudden, I'm looking like I'm living by the Spirit of God, and the whole reason I'm over here is because I didn't have the love of God and the heart of God here. Do you know how many things that's happened to in the body of Christ? That's why there's been a lot of confusion. I'm not talking negative right now. Who would understand that in your journey in life, you've looked around the church and there's been confusion, dissension, and high-mindedness and identity in our church instead of our Savior and all that stuff? Who would agree that you've bumped into that a lot in your Christian years? I know I did. I'm not talking negative. I'm just being real. And it's because of the scripture and Proverbs and all you're getting understanding. There's another one coming to my heart right now in Matthew 5. The pure in heart shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall be the pure. No other motive but your name. Truly, no other motive but the sake of others. God, I'm going to lay down my life for your name and the sake of others, whatever it costs, whatever will be. God, my life is yours. Pure in heart, sincere, when nobody's looking, just you and Jesus, just my life is in you, you're in me, yay, we're one, let's get it on. Do you get it? The pure in heart shall see God, and blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall be called the sons of God. Isn't that awesome? The reason these other things, they're God, but they're so dangerous. They're so dangerous, Pastor, because you could pastor a church, you could find your whole identity in pastoring a church. Your whole identity in how God's using you in pastoring that church. And your whole zeal motivation is because things are going good rather than you're in love. Which means that if things shift or change, you shift and change. That's why people get desperate, end up using people, live at the expense of others, get controlling, because they get all kinds of stuff because they're trying to survive because they don't know who they are. That's why you could serve in a ministry and get your heart broken. How's that even possible if you understand the gospel? Because you lay down your life for love. Nobody owes you anything. And if somebody needs to thank you, step out of ministry, get a good grip on your heart, and then get back in. Because you're forgetting why you're doing it. If you're doing it for accolade and affirmation, it's way out of bounds and you're going to get disappointed. And it's going to be somebody's fault how you feel. Come on, I'm being real. I'm talking plain. And don't think this isn't good news. This is amazing news. This stuff will get you free from your worst enemy. You. See, we think it's the devil. He just plays with what you give him. He takes the slack you give him. The devil ain't your worst enemy, and neither is flesh and blood, just your own. You're your worst enemy. I used to think if God tweaked you, life would be better. That's how proud I was. I was so proud. I thought, boy, God, why don't you just change folks? Life would be so much better if you just changed people. And he's like, he ain't waiting on my behalf to change people. He's waiting for me to change. Because watch, when I change, I affect my sphere of influence productively for the kingdom. Or I could sit back, be selfish, say all the right spiritual stuff, make it all about me, and be rendered powerless in my sphere of influence, and just look like a man that goes to church that's like everybody else. So I was going to bring it. Come on, these things will help you. It'll take you through unnecessary stuff. Take you past unnecessary stuff. We've been our own worst enemy. Thinking for ourselves. Jesus said, if any man, that's a good word. If who? That means it's open for all. If any man come after me, what's the first thing he's to do? deny himself is before the cross. You'll never pick up your cross and take your cross if you don't deny yourself. You know why? Taking up your cross means to walk through every injustice, unfairness, adversity, and affliction without letting it change you, but instead manifesting him. Look, Jesus never let sin against him produce sin in him. He overcame evil with good. He didn't repay evil for evil. He let mercy triumph over judgment, and love covered a multitude of sin. Yeah. And that same Jesus didn't say, sing to me and pray to me. He said, now you follow me. I showed you what love looks like. Now come on. Follow me. And we're saying, I can't believe they said that. Well, don't expect me to feel any different. You'd have felt that way too. Put yourself in my shoes. You need to go off my back. You probably should be talking to them. They're the one that started it. Well, they should know better. They've been saved longer than me. I promise you, Jesus didn't teach us to talk like that. Because you never saw that in his mouth. And if you didn't see it in his, you shouldn't see it in yours, because you're made for his image. You guys good? Come on. Let's not let these little foxes keep stealing the precious fruit of the vine. Because I was here just for a little bit in this church. When that worship started, I looked around and saw folks. I thought they understand some things here for sure. You got vision. You got vision. You got prophetic destiny. You guys are aware of things. You guys teach some things that keep your hearts alive and your eyes looking, right? Well, there's a lot of circles and places and churches that do that. When I say circles, I'm not saying that in a bad way. I just mean congregations, fellowships, families. They're family units. The local body has a great place in the community and the body of Christ. So that wasn't a bad word. I've seen it countless times, and that thing just keeps getting stripped away by the little foxes. Just little wrong believings, just little wrong thinkings. Making much of nothing, making monsters out of things that are defeated, shadow boxing, just wrong believing. Just fighting the devil. The greatest form of intercession is becoming love. He can't stop the mercy of God. Become merciful and he's toast. But if you don't become merciful, he'll own your heart through people affairs, through afflictions. He'll just touch whoever he may to get you, and he'll take out four or five with one little stone. Because then the one that can't handle it's on the phone with their two friends, and now they're all talking, and now they got this stereotyped, and all of a sudden we're singing, holy is the Lord, and there ain't much holy going on. I'm just saying, man. These kind of things, God wants them to die. Amen. Like, so die to where you lose your ability to wake up and even think for yourself to even get caught in that mess. Because if Jesus woke up and thought for himself, come on, totally pure, totally perfect, 100% holy in all his ways. There wasn't one motive, one string to his life. There wasn't one catch, one snag. Pure and perfect. That Jesus said, follow me. He said he's the firstborn of many. Somehow we reduce that to a spiritual position. He says, I'll tell you what, you know. You know when love's perfected, when we have boldness in the day of judgment. Man, you know when we've been perfected, that you have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in the world. And the whole chapter in 1 John 4, he is love. He is love. He is. See, we say as he is, so is he in this world. We think power and lightning and glory and fire and miracles and blind eyes and powerless. And we're preaching the power of God instead of the heart of God. Very dangerous to pursue the power of God and not have the heart of God. Because you'll think the way God's moving through you is your validation. God will move through a backslidden, drunken man to reach a need in front if there's no one else around. I've seen it. The biggest paradox is that you think how God's using you is your affirmation. Your affirmation is his love through the Son. Your communion with him. Amen? You guys good? And when the stuff is so huge. Because I'm convinced it's possible to live this way because Jesus said, follow me. I'm convinced that grace is on the earth to make what He made us to be in the first place possible. Our biggest challenge is fighting the good fight of faith. Believing what He accomplished, believing how God sees us, believing what it did for us and who it made us to be, and then walking that out, not letting anything change our mind. Fighting the fight of faith, the good fight of faith, has nothing to do with punching the devil in the mouth in prayer. Fighting the good fight of faith has to do with when you think the devil's punching you, not losing sight of who you are and asking a million why questions and losing your heart in the middle. But standing firm and understanding that in the midst of injustice, you're called to show mercy. Could you imagine Jesus waking up in the morning? And because there was some times he slept. I'm convinced he didn't sleep a whole lot. I'm convinced he just was so fixed and full of life and in fellowship with God. We studied a fallen man. We've studied a fallen man. So we got all the knowledge of the fallen man in our books. And then we buy into that stuff. We've studied a fallen man. We say man is this, this, this. We've studied fallen creation. And then we believe that those studies is who we are. Who we are is who Christ is in us. And I'm not sure what that looks like in all those situations when the kingdom's concerned. I mean, even me, you know, I'm 52. I could do enough natural knowledge, enough study to think of what it is to be 52 on the earth. But what's that look like in the kingdom? Some people say, well, at a certain age, this starts happening in your body. At a certain age, this starts to happen in your body. Well, you know, once you hit 40, this starts happening. By the time you're 50, it really happened. When you're 60, goodbye, baby. And all this stuff. But you studied a man that's born in Adam. Just making you think a little on something. You just ain't going to sell me with those books. I get stuff in the mail. I got one when I turned 40. Somebody knew I turned 40. I got this thing in the mail and I would have said, you are now over 40. I said, who is this from? You are more susceptible than any time in your life of this, 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 and this. And you need to this and do this and be cautious of this. And I'm like, I thought, who thinks like this? Who's spending all this time? But you know what happens to church folks? They don't make the distinction. They get in fear and take that because we say, well, brother, you got to use wisdom. Whose? That's like that. That's the phrase in the church that have stopped the power of God. We're going to find one day that one phrase stopped the power of God more than anything on the planet. Was the church saying, but brother, you got to use wisdom. Okay, whose? Yeah, brother, that's presumptuous. You got to do this. And we fight over stuff instead of grow into Him. Fight over stuff and stay the same. And then when we stay the same, we say, see? And we let our fruit prove. Oh! I read this thing that day. You take this like you want. God knows where I'm coming from. And one day you'll find out if you don't see it. But I was at the garbage can because you always read the mail by the garbage can because it's a quick. I mean, everybody wants to give you their credit card. Everybody got the best deal, the best money back percentage on the credit card. I mean, my goodness, you could have 100 credit cards. They all got the best one. Some of you have 100. Cut that thing. I'm like, you know, that's how you do. Who does the mail like that? I don't even open a lot of them. Who does that? You're like, oh, oh. You know, Neck Ministries. There's this thing called Neck Ministries. It's only so the IRS knows who I am. It has nothing to do with me needing to be a ministry. I'm not here to build a kingdom. I'm here to minister one that's already here. I'm not here trying to be, that's why I'm not promoting. I don't have nothing out there. I don't do media. I don't even do computer, nothing. People put me on YouTube. I don't know who put me up there, but folks put me on there. Somebody knows how to use YouTube. Because all of a sudden you're on YouTube and you don't even know how you got on there.
I had this man call me, challenging me to do some TV thing on healing. Wanted to document, wanted to interview, wanted me. And he said, well, of course you're gifted and you're anointed, so it won't be no problem to produce the fruit. And da, da, da. And there was a snare there. There was a setup in their hearts. And I called him and I talked to him about what they wanted to do. And then I shared my concern about doing that. And I said, and I understand the angle if something doesn't change where you're going to go with it. I understand, but that you're just misunderstanding the word of God. So I had a good time talking to him. And after I was done, he was like, man, thanks for calling me back. I'm shocked you called me back. Because you could tell when you read it, it was a cynical kind of a setup, kind of a, yeah. And it was going to be misused in any way it could be because they didn't agree with theology. So when I shared my concern, I said, I have no desire to go on TV or on a thing and pray for the sick and have people healed, because I said the church has been trained that there's certain people that are gifted and anointed for that. But the need is huge, and Christ in us is the answer, and the sign follows the believer, not the gifted. But before I got to share that, he said on the phone, well, he said, if you have that kind of gifting and anointed, he said, then that's what comes with it. And then you should make yourself available to those people. He said, and if you're concerned about that, you shouldn't put yourself out there like this. Like make yourself like, hey, I'm gifted. I said, sir, I don't even own a computer. I don't even own one. There's no computer in my house. And not because I'm against them. I don't think it's the one-eyed Antichrist. I'm just totally not interested. I've never been. From the time they came out, I have no desire. I don't even know where it would fit in my life. I wouldn't know when I'd even turn it on. I don't even know. Now, some of you know because you're consumed with certain things and you need to challenge your own heart on that. Like if there was no Facebook, you wouldn't know what to do with yourself. I know what. You'd get before his face. I'm sorry, don't leave, don't get mad. I'm just saying, some of us are consumed with stuff. Technology is a blessing. Right now, as I'm preaching here, do you remember people are listening to me preach on YouTube and stuff? It doesn't even make sense, because I'm not a computer guy. So I'm walking through the airport anymore, and I can hardly go through an airport. Pastor Dan, oh my goodness, Dan Moeller. I'm in a restaurant. Are you Dan? Yes, sir. I'm just saying. Now, I didn't do that. I don't have an unlisted number. Right now, my phone's broke. I think Jesus took it out. I was thinking of getting it disconnected because it's overwhelmed. My phone is overwhelmed because people have need. So they see a new face, a fresh face. They've been to every prayer ministry there is. They've called every TV station out there. But see, we're trying to get God through one another, and my whole cry is that we get close to Him and have relationship with Him and stop asking so many questions that keep us from Him, and let's just go in His presence. Yes. And then what they do is they call me for prayer and counsel, and you ought to see the emails. If you're really this gifted, if you're really this anointed, I never even said that. I don't teach that. I'm just a man in love with Jesus. When they asked me to pastor 17 years ago, I told them no 3 times. Do you know how many people are pushing to be pastors? Pushing. Like waiting for the day they're offered. Like they're not going to be okay until they get into full-time ministry. For 5 years they drag around waiting for that trumpet to blow. And then when it blows, woohoo, I've arrived. Well, where were you the last 5 years? Feeling sorry for yourself and letting your identity be wrapped up in ministry instead of loving Him. And all of a sudden you're wondering, why don't I get my break? Why? So you prophesy when you get a chance and you get the mic and keep it 5 extra minutes because you're trying to be noticed. People do this stuff all the time. I've been around, man. I just want to be seen. It's dangerous. Man, if you've got an ounce of that in your heart, throw it out tonight. And let humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And in due time, He'll lift you up. But don't you humble yourself to be lifted up, or you ain't even humbled. See, they'd ask me to pastor and I'd say, what are you talking about? I'm a warehouse worker in love with Jesus. You know what I'd say to our elders and my pastor? I'd say, guys,
It's just because you see Jesus moving through my life doesn't mean I'm a ministry gift. I'm a Christian that believes the gospel. I'm just an everyday believer, and Christ is in me, and these signs will follow me because I believe, not because I'm a pastor. But the problem is when people see your face over and over on the internet and you're always talking and you share little testimonies and stories, what would you do? You got a little child in your house, has the disease, and you just heard me and you saw the results through the testimony. Well, then you email and try, you got to pray for this, you got to do this. People email in the church and say, have you ever seen this healed in your ministry? Have you ever seen this healed in your ministry? And they're naming these stuff because if you say yes, then they want to bring that to you, but they're only going to do that if you've seen it healed. Which proves that we're just chasing gifts and results. We don't even understand faith and covenant and yes, Lord, and your word. And what's it matter if we've never seen it? It's still possible. So let's grow up into Him in all things. I'm just telling you, there's a lot of people that have expended all their avenues, and then they see somebody with passion and they say, oh, that guy's excited. Wow. And I've learned that they're not even listening to what I'm saying. They just want their need met because they call our church and talk to the girls. How do I find a schedule? I don't schedule. I don't post my schedule anywhere on the internet. Do you know why? A year and a half ago when I was, people were tracking me with special needs, stopping me in the parking lot. I couldn't even get into the church. Now that's an indictment against us. That we're trying to find Jesus through one another and we're trying to get to one individual to get our needs met. Come on, it's a difficult, you put yourself in my shoes and you pull up to a church you've never been and you're invited for the weekend and you haven't even met the pastor. And this is the last time when I decide to say, God, I don't know what to do, but I'm just not going to put my schedule up until I get wisdom, and I don't have a need to put my itinerary up. It would be nice. There's people in areas that would see I'm coming that would invite a friend, somebody hurting. I just got an email, if you're ever in the Kentucky area, my brother's struggling with addiction and heroin, but he would come and listen. Could you please let me know if you're in that area? You see, it would be good if I could. But when I post my schedule, then I'm coming through the lot, jump right in front of you while you're walking across the lot. Hey, Dan, God bless you. Who knows that some of you did that just saying hi tonight. Who did I turn away from? Who did I say, hey, leave me alone, I'm worshiping? That's weird to me. I know, I'll love you, hug you. Hi, hey, good to see you. Right? So they do the same thing. Hey, been listening to you. Oh, my goodness, it's changed your lives. And then they cry. And then they point to the car. Look, we drove 12 hours. These are real stories, guys. And we brought so-and-so. They're in the car. We're hoping you could take some time. And you're like, well, okay, I need to get in church. We're going to have a service. Are you guys coming in? Well, yeah, we didn't know if you could come over to the car and just pray. And I'm like, well? And I'm like, I'll tell you what, why don't you all come on in and we'll work it out. You go, this is not an exaggeration. You go 25 feet, and there's the third one, fourth one, before you're even at the church porch. Now you put yourself in my shoes if you really care about people. And all of a sudden you got four people pulling on you that are expecting of you that left you know that they flew in from out of town or drove a long way for this moment. That's tough. And then I'm going to come in and preach it's all about the church. And I'm going to get people to pray for one another. And that whole picture is counterproductive to the very message and anointing that I'm walking in. Come on. When I did the Kingdom Living School, any of you ever watch the Kingdom Living School on the YouTube? 2011 Harvest Chapel School of Kingdom Living? I get a lot of comments from it. When I would go to that school, it was 9 o'clock. I'd get there about 10 of, and I taught every day at that school for 13 weeks. There'd be people standing at the front doors of our church because they knew I had to pass through the doors. That's tough, guys. And you got to teach a school, you've given your heart to the students, and you told them you'd stay late and answer questions, you still have a family and all this stuff, but there's so much need out there, and my concern is that we've allowed our need to identify us, and we're trying to get something from God instead of going to Him and becoming more like Him in the moment. So then you go to the doors, and they say, oh my goodness, hi, I know I'm not part of the school, but... And who knows that you don't even want your heart in that stuff. You're like, because you love everybody, you wish you could just help everyone. Amen. But you can't.
That's right.
It's tough. And we in the church have to get that off of people. God never intended us to recognize a gift and anointing, build a conference around it to minister to all the people. It's to reproduce the people in the grace that you recognize. To train and equip for the work of the...
so that there's a whole bunch of little Christ-like Christians all over the earth. You say, yeah, but some people are gifted and anointed. That's what believers are. Gifted and anointed. Yeah, but some people have the gift of healing. Yeah, but the signs follow those that believe. They'll lay their hands on the sick and they'll recover. So if all you believe is healing is a gift and you don't have it, you just canceled out of the believer portion and that's what you're called to. And now you let the way that seems right to a man seem right, but it produces nothing. Are you guys okay? I know I got on a little tangent there. A little sidetrack. But see, it's just funny because I'm not against the internet. The internet is doing... I don't have an unlisted home phone, which is rare for somebody that is in the position I've been pushed into. I have run from this. I have run from this so much. It's like, it's hard to be all over the internet and not have people see you a certain way. I don't want that. I don't even want that a little bit. I just want people to see Jesus and know that it's possible to grow up into Him. So let my life be an encouragement in that area. But I am no more special than any person that ever walked the earth. And there's no one here with more or less value than any other person. The same blood was shed for all. Every mountain's low, every valley's up. I think this is an even playing field. You say, well, God uses people more than others. Probably because they yield, submit, and surrender a little more. Maybe they don't complain as much. Because if you complain, you make it sure clear that it's about you. It says, don't you complain like they did in the wilderness. They were devoured by the devourer, destroyed by the destroyer. And I'm writing these things for your admonition, so you don't follow their example. And some people think it's a small thing to complain. But when you complain, you reveal that you have you in mind more than anything. And you ain't happy. Even though blood was shed, even though every sin's forgiven, even though everlasting life's inside of you, even though the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead has been given, when you complain, you push all that to the side and say, I ain't happy about the moment. Come on, that's not cool. Philippians 2, you ought to read it. It says, God's working in you, both to will and do for His good pleasure. Therefore, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who works in you both to will and do for His good pleasure. Therefore, do all things without grumbling or complaining. Why? So the world sees you as an innocent, harmless child in the midst of a twisted world, whom you shine forth as the light, holding forth the word of life through your life, not through your preaching, through your life. Oh boy, that speaks loud when they see it in your life. They've heard it in a lot of men's mouths, and then they read about them in the paper. That's another good thing. You ain't going to read about me because there ain't no secrets. How's that? Boy, that feels good. It just feels good. See, because we think everybody has to have their own secrets. Well, everybody has a little dark place. Everybody has their little secret. You're wrong. Stop being deceived. Because when you believe that, you're saying you fit that too. And then that little secret will graze you out and keeps you from intimacy with Jesus. That's the thing that stills your tongue when you get alone with Him. That thing that makes you self-conscious and you have to get 20 minutes to try to get past yourself to look up to Him. You know, I happen to be unveiled. My conscience is extremely clear. And I see that I have Jesus, the high priest, who's passed through the heavens. So I'm going to come boldly, not arrogantly, not presumptuously, boldly into the throne of grace because I realize He's for me and He loves me. Yeah, that makes it pretty simple. So now we can get a thing going on there. And I can see His love more and become His love. So when I leave there, I can look more like Him. So I didn't just do my duty with God. I didn't just do my devotion. I just didn't pay my time. I've been with Him and spent time with Him. And who He is becomes more relevant in me so that I can shine as a light. You get it? It's just so good. Or what Pastor said, your vision, this 90-day thing is a good thing. Had my motor running when I was hearing Him. You be very careful. You just don't turn it into your evangelistic duty and misunderstand their hearts. And then all of a sudden feel pressured and, oh my gosh, now we got to go pray for people. It's what happens. Then they feel all pressured. You know why? Because you're extremely self-conscious and you're admitting it without realizing it. But the key is that nobody's mandating you. I don't think it's this leadership's heart to whip you into the corner of the evangelistic vision and get with a program. You know, go love somebody. This community is dependent on it. If you ain't going to touch them, who is? Come on. And all of a sudden we've compelled you into works and pressure. And all of a sudden all we're doing is organized ministry and putting on a badge. And it's a false sense of sincerity, a false sense of boldness. And it's not even the real you. Here's the key. I'm going to preach to you here. This is all my introduction. No. I'm just trying to get started. I don't even know what I'm doing. Help me, Jesus. I feel like I'm just starting. I guess we got the rest of the weekend. Oh, God. Look, if I just sit in traffic for 8 hours, I figure I can preach for eight. No. I'm just kidding. We don't have to blow this thing up. Is it really 10 after 9? Isn't that something? You thought it was a half hour, didn't you? You guys are captivated. It's because I'm a maniac. You're like, what is up with this dude? See, even if you don't hear what I'm saying, you're just freaked out by me. You're like, the Energizer Bunny has nothing on me. I have burned out so many Energizers, that little drum does stop. But this thing in me, it's going to go forever. I mean, it ain't no match. It just goes on and on and on. And the more I preach, the more I'm like this. And that's a good deal because I preach to myself if ain't nobody around. I'll preach to a tree if there ain't a person. I'll be like, tree, you're amazing. Look at that bark. You're unique. You ought to wave your branches and worship him. You're from the Lord. And you just keep on walking. You got to preach to every creature. I'm serious. So I'm always like this because I'm always preaching. I had a lot of chances driving in traffic today looking in my mirror, and every once in a while you catch your eyes. Oh, oh, oh. I see you. And he just comes and touches you while you're driving because you believe he's in you. And your conscience is squeaky clean and clear. And you're driving and you're not defiled and you're not dirty and you're not less than and you're not condemned and you're not... No, you're his. And he loves you. He paid an amazing price to get inside of you. He created you to inhabit you. And when sin evicted him from his home, he did what was necessary to remove it to get back in. He must really want to live inside of folks. Somehow I grew up with the idea there was a party somewhere off in eternity that I had to pray this prayer and make sure I was part of. How did we ever turn the gospel into that? And that weirded me out growing up because I'm like, why would God even care? Why would he do that to his son to get me in heaven someday? I don't even know him. And I just had nothing in my heart that was good. And all of a sudden, love was a mystery. And I was confused by love. So if I'm confused by the love of God and the way I'm hearing it, then I could never see his love to love him back. Now I'm reduced to serving the Lord because it's right. If you don't see love, you'll just serve him. If you don't see the love of God, you'll just serve doctrine. Because you owe it to him. Because if he really did what he did to Jesus and you say you believe it, then your life probably ought to at least have some discipline to it and you ought to pay him back a little. That's weird. That's not what he called us to. He called us to see his first love. And if we see his love, we love him in response because his love's amazing. Because I promise you, no one has loved us like he has. No one has stayed so steadfast and not changed their mind about us. And some of us have had parents that never let go and stuff, but there was a lot of pain along the way, a lot of frustration, a lot of expression, and yes, they're always there when they need to be, but there was a lot of... God wasn't like that. God wasn't like, oh, these kids, they're driving me nuts. Jesus, come on. Now's got to be the fullness of time because I can't take another day. Man, they got my heart on a yo-yo. They're like going to break me soon. I mean, you tell them one thing and they do another. It's like, would you just go set it straight and let them see the truth?
But Father, we have no real guarantee that they're really going to love you or love me or follow me. And yeah, I know people. Oh, God. Can you imagine God having that conversation in heaven? The only reason you can't imagine it, because we see him that way in Scripture and we've painted him that way. The problem is we haven't seen ourselves that way and we're supposed to be like him. So we can't hear those words in his mouth, but we have no problem with them in ours. In fact, we can usually find a few friends to substantiate those words and agree with them and get our little support system going. Did you ever notice that when you're hurt by something, you can find a couple people that understand your pain? Way more than you'll find somebody that'll talk to you about the heart of God. And about why are you letting that thing fashion you? That's not your potter. That's not Lord. What do you do? Do you know in weddings, we do traditional stuff, right? So on wedding day, we do Ken and Barbie stuff. We're good at it in America, man. You get like 6x6 and get them all decked out. It makes great pictures. It's like... They're not even there for the pictures. They're not there to look pretty. And we put all the emphasis on Ken and Barbie on that day. Man, when I pastored and did weddings all the time, I did a lot of weddings. I would get everybody in a room, parents and everybody, and teach them what we're doing that day and what it all means. I said, you ain't there to look pretty. You're going to give yourselves to one another with solemn vows and hard-earned promises before God and your friends. And I'd look at the best man and say, and you know why you're here, friend? You go ahead and look nice and you get your hair in place and you look sharp for your buddy. But you ain't here to look nice and you ain't here for the picture. You're here to be the best man. And if 6 months down the road he says anything to you outside of what he said that day, if it's one thing negative, one thing derogatory, you say, what are you talking about, man? I stood there the day in the presence of God. You gave your life to that woman. Don't you sell me that and don't sell it to yourself. Come on, man. Where's Jesus in your language today, friend? Because here's what happens in a lot of weddings. 6 months down the road, that best man and you are sitting talking and he says, you know, I had my doubts, man. I thought she was a little this and that and I don't know. And all of a sudden you got a support system in the negative and now you got a little strength to be what you're not created to be. And that ain't a best man. Maids of honor, that's why you're there. To stand on behalf of the bride and groom, not to be her best friend and support and protect and get alone and talk. Well, you know, are you guys following me? Yes. It's all about him. I have the parents walk both the groom and the bride down if they're willing. And if they're not willing, if they just want to have the dad, I make sure I teach about them all letting go. Because you don't want in-laws to turn into outlaws. You got a dad walking the daughter down who gives this bride in marriage. I do, and the mom's over there holding tight. No, I get that mama to walk her down too, and they all. But I give them a good chance to take their time, kiss and hug and cry and thank you, mama, thank you. But I'll tell you what, as soon as she releases her right to there, guess what she's saying? Today, in the presence of God, I acknowledge in public, I give my daughter to this man. And it takes an outlaw and turns it into an in-law. You better do stuff spiritual, not just traditional. That's why there's been so many amazing Ken and Barbie weddings without a good marriage. And it was sure fuzzy and rosy that day. I had the presence of God come in a wedding once so strong. Knocked the best man and the next guy over into each other that were backslidden. When Holy Ghost came to join them and make them one, he just went. Wow. On his way across my shoulder, he puffed my hair. He just went, boom. Backslidden in a wedding on video. Boom. They're like. You just stop the wedding. Come to Jesus. No, that's not what I did. Kneel right there, boys. I'll be back. It's just the love of God. They're standing there doing the traditional thing. The best man, backslidden as could be. Holy Ghost comes to make these two one because they caught the vision. And on the way by, he just went. Just touched him. Really touched him. Changed him. I ended up pastoring him a little bit afterward, pastoring him a little bit, and saw his life change from that one little moment. But here's the good thing. 9 months in, they got some unresolved in their lives. Did you guys ever have some unresolved? Do you ever let each other like get under your skin and then you don't talk and you know you love each other and it's so foolish because down inside you know you don't want this, you don't like this, but you're mad and you want to be right and you don't want to be wrong and you feel like they owe you. And all of a sudden you're just being what you're not created to be. And who knows, it produces nothing good ever. I don't care how right you are, it doesn't produce life. And all of a sudden there you are with animosity and you're going to bed and you ain't even talking. All of a sudden, days can go by, and now you got big issues. And sad part is you call your pastor in to mediate it, and until you get an adjustment on your heart, he's powerless to even help because you're both living like you ain't saved. I'm just being real. And you're standing for your rights, and you're defending your rights, and that's the cost of the one that you say, I love you to. You could have 2-3 children together, and this stuff happens. See, well, I carry all the weight. Well, they ain't this. And they ain't that. I've been putting up with it for years. Do you think God's putting up with us or does God love us? See, that's a dead giveaway. Well, I've been putting it up with you. Well, that's where you're wrong, sir. That's where you're wrong, honey. You ain't been called to put up with nothing. You're called to become like him. And then you wouldn't have to put up with so much. Then you'd see the value of your spouse. Instead of cry because of them, you cry for them. And all of a sudden you pray because you know if they knew who they were, they wouldn't live this way. So you go ahead and pick up your cross because you denied yourself and now you're following Jesus. And now you'll find grace all over your life and strength in your heart and the ability to see your spouse clear. And all of a sudden you don't say, well, I fell out of love. No, you never knew what love was. You needed them for a while and it was working good and it crossed some certain lines and now it doesn't seem so needful. We've reduced I love you to I need you a lot. But we still say, I love you, because it works so well, because so many people need to hear it. It's the three most misused words on the planet. We just say it for gain. No, really, I love you. You can't love me. I don't know. Well, I love you. I do. I'm sorry. It'll all change. I love you. Really? Yeah. I love you, too. I do. I love you. That's all the time. It's all the time. Wasn't that gross? I was hoping it would be. It's like a starry-eyed Hollywood movie. It's all full of feelings. And then we're supposed to pastor that. Watch this. I'm not in defense of pastor. You can't pastor that. Except for introduce them to Jesus in relationship. And I'm not saying they don't see their need for a Savior, but they got to understand why they're born again. They are not waiting to go to heaven someday. Heaven's here and it's come inside of them. So if we're just teaching a gospel that's all about what God can do for us instead of how he can make us more like him, that scenario's normal and we got to pastor it all the time. Now, I'm never bothered by pastoring. I'm not frustrated with people. And I'm not like, well, here we go to counsel again. Because I counsel way different than most people I found out. I call you to strong truth and find out what you understand and don't. And I give you understanding. And then I find out how sincere your heart is about the kingdom. Because if you don't take the counsel to heart, then that says it all. And if you just need your spouse to change, well, then you're making them Lord and you're way deceived and you're only as good as they're not. Come on, man. I'm not mean and mad about this. I'm being real. We can spare ourselves a lot of unneedful pain because if we don't get these things out, you can forget 90 days of power and love. If we don't talk like a family this weekend about this kind of stuff, then your 90 days of power and love, you have to question what is it? Where is it even going to flow from? Just the momentum of your leadership cheering you on? No, because you're transformed. And all of a sudden, power and love becomes the spontaneous result of knowing him. And you don't have to go out and try to do no quota. You're just going to love because you've become it because you see who he is. You follow me? I don't ever calculate stuff. I don't ever just say, okay, I'm going to the mall. I don't do that. But if I need some at the mall, I got to go to the mall. And guess what I found out every time I went to the mall? There was folks there. And guess what I usually realized because of where my heart was? There was somebody hurting, somebody in need, somebody downcast, or God just showed me something. There was sometimes I went to the mall and I was really in a hurry and gave my word to my wife that I had to get back because we had to go here. And I actually went to the mall and it was just loving and nice, but didn't take an inordinate amount of time and got back in my car and headed home. And who knows, I didn't miss God and wasn't full of sin. I'm not the answer for the world. He is. But I'm the answer for my sphere of influence and I walk in love. Do you get it? Now watch. If every face that I was looking at would start thinking this way at some level through their relationship with God and start realizing it's not about what God can do for me, it's how He can make me more like Him and about how He can make me one with His heart so that when I look through my eyes, I see what He beholds. And all of a sudden I realize Christ in me is the actual hope of glory. Christ through me is the manifestation of that very glory. All of a sudden we can really touch a society, couldn't we? Just the faces I'm looking at in this one room, just think about it. Just touching one here. One there. Excuse me, are you okay, sir? Sir, you look like, do you need help getting in? Are you okay? Oh, it's just, man, it's no, I'll be fine. I do this all the time. It's just my hip. And I just got to get it angled right so I can sit down. Okay, I just want to make sure. Well, thanks. Thanks for, you know. And you just don't, they sit down and say, listen, man, I did. I sincerely ran over to help you. I want to do something. 15 seconds, man, please. Don't hear me wrong. Don't blow me off. Sometimes I'll plead like that. I'll say, just hear me, man. Hear in my heart. 15 seconds. Let me bless you and pray for you. And let's believe that pain. Because, oh, no, no. Shh, man, listen. If I pray for 15 seconds and that thing leaves, that's an awesome day, huh? And if nothing happens, you ain't lost nothing because you weren't expecting nothing. Let's just pray, man. I didn't come over here just to help you in the car. That would have been good. But now that I'm here, I want to ask if I can pray. I want to pray for you, man. In Jesus' name. Most people will say, yeah. If he says no, you've lost nothing. Why are we so afraid to put ourselves in that position? We say, well, wonder if nothing happens. If you don't go over, we're guaranteed that already. But I'll tell you what, love never fails. So wherever you release love, you release the kingdom. So you say, yeah, but what you're really trying to say is, and I understand it, wonder if the pain doesn't go away. Well, wonder if the motive of you going over to his car isn't just for the pain to go away. Wonder if it's to love him sincerely. Amen. Wonder if it's to genuinely care for him in his situation and truly pray for him. Amen. Now watch. If you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Amen. So even if the pain doesn't leave in the moment, you're not in a jam. You've effectively loved him without a string attached. Amen. There was nothing. You're not selling him nothing. You didn't try to box him in and get him to pray your prayer. You know, because the church is amazing with this stuff. We have been so groomed to get everybody to pray that sinner's prayer that we failed to just go sincerely love people. And the church is onto us, man. They think we're like a marketing group, like we're just merchandising their souls, you know. We all go on a hot day to the parade with our water bottles and hand them out like we care about them and we're just hoping for a doorway to pray our prayer. When do you give them water? Because they're thirsty. Say, well, yeah, but you need to touch their need. Well, yeah, but if you touch their need with a wrong motive like that, you touch their need to touch their need. Amen. Not because now they owe you. Amen. When do you just love people? Amen. See, it's like this. I know you guys ain't intending to do this, but I did this years ago. We took these folks out. We called Storm the City. We did it about twice a year. We'd storm the city twice a year. I mean, it was a Christian duty, you know? About 35 of us would come to the parking lot, and we'd hold hands and had a big stack of tracks on the hood of the car, and we'd, shakataraba kasandiaraba shinamamamanana, and we'd pray like for 20 minutes, all 35 of us, in tongues. And we'd hand out all these tracts and we'd go storm the city after praying in the Spirit. And we get out there and we get out in our cars and we go out in the city. False sense of boldness, false sense of identity, false sense of everything. So they walk up to this precious black gentleman. He's coming down the street. And oh, thank God for this man. They come up and they said, hey man, do you hear the good news? He said, what is it? He said, Jesus loves you, they said. And they hand him a tract. He said, well, thanks for sharing it with me, guys. Actually, I understand and know Jesus loves me. The thing is, I don't believe you do. And they went, excuse me? He said, no, actually, I think you're a church group that's probably out in the streets once, twice a year trying to make yourself feel good about what you say you are. He said, here's my question. When's the last time you handed out a tract apart from your church group and sincerely told somebody Jesus loved them apart from your ministry attempt? He said, because that's who you really are. And he said, I think you guys need to go get a grip, man. Because I do know Jesus loves me, but you guys are doing church. And I said, get to the cars, heading back, regrouping. They said, Dan, you can't let that man deceive you. You can't. That man has a hard heart. I said, if you can't hear God through that man talking, let's head back to church. We'll deal with it later. So we packed up and went back to church because we were way, we had such a dull edge on what we were doing. We become so religious that we just thought it was our Christian. And now we're going to change the city because two nights out of the year, we noticed there was somebody else but us. And now you're going to change the city. I'll tell you how you're going to change the city. When people see you every day in your workplace in love with Jesus just because of the light in you. Your attitude, your disposition. You're pumping gas and you ain't frustrating, complaining. You ain't butt in line. You ain't pushing through an airport. You are at peace with God and at peace with men. And when people look at you, they're freaked out because they know you're different than other folks. I promise you, and I'm not boasting on me, I have had more people than I can possibly count stop me in public, ask me after a while, flying, traveling, who are you? What's up with you? Why are you so different? And I don't know that I am. I think I'm exactly what I'm called to be. You follow me? But people see it. People notice it. You're going through an airport, people say, boy, you sure are happy. Happy. Man, I know it looks happy. You, it ain't nothing to do with happy. My life's been transformed. Do you understand? The spirit. You're going through the security. And the guard's, boy, you sure. TSA, you sure happy. I'm putting myself, happy. Are you kidding me? Look inside me, man. Jesus transformed. Jesus, oh, he changed my life. Not 19 months ago, 19 years, buddy. He changed how I think, how I see. God bless you. Thanks for noticing. I guess you couldn't help it, could you? He's in me. He just going right on through. Everybody listening. Next thing you know, somebody's pulling on your sleeve, trembling. Can you pray for me? I could stand here the whole weekend and just tell you those stories. The whole weekend. Why? Because I'm evangelistic. Jesus has made me become love. I'm not self-conscious. I'm not afraid of people. I'm not in the fear of man. I'm not self-conscious. Why? Denied myself. What do you mean? I realized that was never made for me. That's why Jesus said, deny yourself. Jesus didn't say, if any man come after me, let him make sure he prays a prayer called the sinner's prayer that we came up with in the last 100 years so that you can get your name in the book of life. He said, if any man come after me, let him first deny himself, because that's a big problem. You were never made for you. You were made for his image. So until you get rid of him, you can't be filled with his image. Until you get rid of you, you can't get filled with his image. Do you get what I'm saying? Let us make man in our... And the devil tricked us into the image of man. And now the church says, well, that was Jesus. And he's in us. And he calls us his embodiment. And he says, the things I do, you'll do. And as the Father sent me, I send you. Need any more scriptures? I read the book. It's too late. The only case you complete at this point is unbelief or willfulness. Because the truth is, he's called you to this destiny. Come on, listen, guys. It's very simple, and I'll wrap up with this, and we're going to pray. Jesus did not die on the cross because you were sinners. He had to die because you sinned. He died to save that which was lost, and what was lost was your created value and your destiny. What was lost is who you were intended to be in the first place, so he became what we were so we could become what he is. Jesus, listen to me. This is not heresy. Jesus, see, if Jesus died on the cross because you're a sinner,
to forgive your sins so you could go to heaven, then that's the end of the story and we've reduced him to Easter. That growl wasn't at people. Come on, I grew up thinking Jesus died on the cross because I was a sinner. And I knew I was a sinner, and I knew I had things in my heart that I shouldn't be doing. And it messed me up all the time. And by the time I was 20, I couldn't even believe this guy Jesus would dare die for me because I got a lot of issues. So I'd go to church, and I'd go to church, but I had my issues, and I'd feel like, because Jesus died on the cross because I was a sinner, so I couldn't see His first love. I was puzzled. Why would you do that for me? Who's ever said, I can't believe God loves me? I don't know how God can love me that way. Do you know why? You're weighing your value based on your performance, the life you've lived. You know you like no one knows you, and you're wondering what He sees in you because you ain't seen much. So then when somebody says, God loves you, you go, how can God love me? God can't love me. So you either get deceived by your own condemnation or your own anger. God loves me. When God can't love me, left my mama die when I was little, left my brother die when he was in his teen years. My dad's been drunk my whole life. Don't tell me God loves me. My life is hell. See, now I can talk that plain because you don't know my story. And if we're just here to compare our stories, we're really going to miss it. And if I need to be so sensitive to your story because I don't know your story, and you have to be so sensitive to mine because you don't know mine, then we're making our story the truth instead of His. Amen. Look, I'm sorry it's been the way it's been. You know, you say, well, I've been touched wrong. Wonder if I was. So now see, we're at a stalemate. See, well, my dad never loved me. Wonder if mine didn't either. See, that'll never bring life. That'll actually assure that tomorrow's yesterday. Listen, Jesus has come. You're more than conquerors. You're not a survivor. This isn't victim villain. This is Christ is Lord and He's in me. He snatched me out of darkness into the light. He's delivered me from that power, translated me in the kingdom of the Son of His love. So sin and its lie just wanted my daddy to be an alcoholic, and my daddy's an empty cup. Now I'm finding my identity through people, so I need my daddy to love me to find out who I am, because if my daddy don't love me, I ain't lovable. Now I'm trying to get a drink from a dry cup. No wonder I'm thirsty. Well, He said if you'd come and ask me, I'll give you a drink, and you ain't never, ever gonna thirst again. And somehow, we're trying to fix up and patch up the thing with our daddy, and we're missing the whole point. Because once I really understand, I have compassion on my dad and realize he was lost. He didn't know what he was doing. No wonder he was bound to the bottle. That was no reflection on me, my identity, my value, my purpose, my destiny. I found the truth through Christ. Christ died for me while I was yet a sinner. Oh my goodness, I don't need healing from patched up from my daddy's deficit. Are you kidding me? Christ is the fullness in me. Now guess what? Now I can look back at my daddy and go, whoa, I get it now. And actually have compassion on him instead of bitterness towards him. All of a sudden I can show him mercy instead of you owe me. And guess what? Months later your daddy can grab your arm and cry and say you're transformed. And then through your life your daddy can get born again. Boy, that sure beats having issues and... Well, brother, you can preach all excited, but you don't know what it was like growing up. What's that have anything to do with faith in Jesus? Be real with me. It has absolutely nothing but deception and distraction towards you. Because if it has to do with that, then we all have a reason to be not okay. That's why the just live by. It's amazing how we lean on them feelings and the just live by feelings and get in trouble all the time. So we spend countless hours ministering to memories, impressions, flashbacks, regrets. And yet new life has come, we'll sing. We'll sing new life is here. That He made all things new. Guys, if we're not careful, we're going to teach ourselves that we're only as good as we feel.
A lot of the things you're asking prayer for aren't even prayer issues. They're truth issues. It doesn't say prayer will make you free and ministry will make you free. It says truth will. And it's time we see who we really are, because we're letting a lot of other things define us wrongly. So you think because I didn't have a daddy that said I loved you growing up, I can't receive the love of God? Why am I trying to find God through my dad? There's no comparison. I find God through His Son. Why do we sell out so rational? Because we call our dad father, and Jesus is God's father, Jesus is daddy's father. So now we make a... Now there has to be some kind of channel. He said, call no man on earth your father. You have one father. He's in heaven. What he's saying is don't limit, identify, or regulate your life through natural, biological, hereditary means. You came forth in the beginning when I said, let us make man. The word father means come forth from. So yes, a man had to go into a woman for the fact that you're sitting here. Yes, there is a biological daddy out there and a mama, whether you know him or not. But there wouldn't be if you wouldn't have a father. So we better look past that and find the truth in him. Do you get it? See, I'm just being honest. My dad was alcoholic. My mom was like the prettiest girl in school. And he had a full scholarship, and he didn't want to leave her because she was 2 years younger, and he felt like he was going to turn her over to the wolves, and he didn't trust leaving her, and he loved her. He thought the best a young man could feel like he loved her. So they got this great idea. If you get pregnant, they'll make us get married, and I won't have to go to school, and we can be together. Yeah, let's get pregnant. That was their plan. Sounds like a Hollywood love story. They stayed together their whole lives through the alcoholism and everything. And he actually grew to love my mother, his wife, and be there for her all the time and be a good husband. You understand what I'm saying? But in the beginning, I could get all spooky spiritual. Conceived in fornication, not the will of God. I ain't supposed to be here. I wasn't birthed in covenant. No wonder I'm this way, this. No, I'm this way. Because all I have eyes for is Him. None of that other stuff matters even a little bit. Do you get it? And you go, oh no, brother. Well, see, that's why you might not be free. Because what you believe in that line is subverting faith in Him. And your focus is in the wrong place. But if the eye's single, whole body's flooded with light. So you could be singing one of these beautiful songs tonight with a single eye. And you just, Lord Jesus, and it's so easy. I watched, didn't I? I said, your wife's amazing. That's what I said. I said, oh my gosh. He said, yeah, she's really something. He just looked at me like he's looking right now. Yeah, she's really something. And I said, I guarantee it. I was like, oh my goodness. Because the music started, she just jumped up, she's just full of life. It was awesome. It was so hearty. It was so from her heart. She wasn't like, I'm pastor's wife. I got to be a spiritual leader. No, she's just in love. Jesus, you're awesome. That was her. I stood right there and went, oh my goodness. I said, your wife's awesome. Didn't that happen? That's a single eye. That's a single eye. Now, she could have, I guess, but maybe she couldn't. See, give herself a permission for a wide eye, wide view lens. Wide view lens. Way that seems right to a man. All of a sudden the song's singing. You're so good. Well, Lord, if you were so good, how come and why? And all of a sudden your whole life's before Him in question of Him, and you can't even sing. Because you're expecting Him to do something for you instead of seeing who He is to you, in you, and through you. And all of a sudden you can't even sing because if you were so awesome, well, why is my son? And why is this? And I prayed this for. And if you do everything and you're so faithful, then how come? You get it? And all of a sudden we're deceived and don't even realize it. And the eye we're looking through is we're Christians for what He can do for us. And now we're subtly, slowly disappointed. and left down in our lives. Because we had the idea that He was here to do good things for us. We've been told that by preachers. For the Lord is here to meet every one of your needs. Please don't say that. That's a sure way to run Holy Spirit right out of the room. That's not why He's here to meet every one of your needs. Some of your needs that you think are needs are wants. And if we don't clarify that, you're deceived and wondering why He didn't meet your want. Amen. Thou shalt not want. Amen. You know how you know a want? If the thing determines your disposition, personality, and joy. Is that good? Did you get that? I said, do you know how you define a want versus a need? If it rules your disposition, your personality, and your joy, then it's a want. You've just made it Lord. And if Satan ever figures out that there's something in your life that determines your joy more than knowing Him and becoming like Him, that's the target. He'll pound that thing as long as it works. And then the more that he pounds it, you'll say, why is all these things going wrong? Why are you letting this happen to me, Lord? And he ain't letting nothing happen. You're positioned for it. And what you don't know, destroying you. Yet he's giving you the truth. He's giving you the power of his name. He's giving you a sword. He's giving you armor. He's given you everything you've become through Christ to stand and wage a good warfare and fight the good fight of faith and walk through all that stuff. And never, ever let anything happening to you become you. But let what He did for you. See, here's what happens. We become a product of what we're going through. Instead of become a product of what He went through so we can rightly discern our adversity. And then we make it all about God just pulling through for us and helping us and delivering us and just believing for my breakthrough, brother. Well, the stone has already rolled away. Come on, this language in the church gives us away. Just waiting for my breakthrough, brother. You could go back to that church 6 months later to preach and they still are still waiting for my breakthrough. And they're putting all their energy and effort and they're rendered most of the time non-productive, don't even understand. They have more questions than answers after 6 more months of waiting for their breakthrough. Instead of understanding what true breakthrough really means so they can rightly discern this and even believe God from a place of faith. Are you guys okay? Come on. If you're only praying because of problems, how can it even be faith? You have no authority over what you fear. And we've been reduced, I'm not being mean guys, just bear with me for a second. We've been reduced to a ministry crazed people if we're not careful and we just need prayer for everything. No, we need fellowship with God, communion with God. And we need to know the truth because the truth will make you free. You can come to the altar week after week after week. You become ministry crazed and the more you do it, it has a counterproductive effect because you wonder why it's not happening. All the prayer, all the people, well, even that man, even that lady, I see Jesus in her. She touched me and I didn't get it. Something must really be wrong. And then you say something must be holding it back. Something must be hindering. And now you're on some identity search and now you're playing detective and moving every stone trying to find out what's blocking the blessing. And the whole time you're doing that, you're out of fellowship with God and you ain't shining because you're perplexed and confused. And you've been seduced into making it all about you and what He can do for you instead of looking like Him in the face of it all. Are you guys following me? This is the best way you're going to do this 90-day thing, man. You're going to become love. Because see, if you're only going home and saying, I can't believe my boss is this way, and I don't know why God lets my boss talk to me like that. God, you know how it makes me feel so defiled and dirty by the end of the day. I've been praying for you to knock him off his high horse. Why is he still riding so high? That's Christian prayer to most people. And we're just praying for a new job. Because we can't take the language of our coworkers. Are you kidding me? Where would God go? There has to be something about God that's bigger than the way men talk. There has to be something about God that's way bigger than the way men act. People say, I don't know, will they just get through, you know, under my skin? Well, get new skin. I said last week, man, it's the first time I ever said it, but now I'm saying it again because I liked it. I said, man, if you know, we get hackled up and our feathers get hackled. We just get all offended and our feathers ruffle. I said, man, if your feathers are ruffling, pluck yourself. You know? That'd be like Jesus healing the sick, and they got bad thoughts in their mind. You ever read that in your Bible? Healing the sick, and they're thinking bad thoughts. And he says, why do you think bad thoughts? Why do you think these evil things? And then he starts talking. He's so loving. He's so amazing. And he interjects truth in the midst of that. That'd be like him trying to hear it. I heard what you were thinking. Man, that ain't right, man. I'm here trying to do good for this girl. And you're going to think like that in front of God? He knows everything, man. Think about it. It'd be like Malchus's ear gets cut off and he picks it up and he says, wrong side of the line, pal. You know, bad company corrupts good morals. You could be a lot more than what you've become. You're running with the wrong group. And you're holding his ear. You're power playing Malchus because of his need. And you're trying to get him to come to God based on his need. We think that's church. But I tell you what, if you come across this line, Malchus, perhaps God will have mercy on you and restore a few things. And you know the paradox? You're only getting Malchus to come to God for what God can do for him instead of the beauty of who God is. Amen. Because unless you see God's first love, you'll never become love. You'll just stay needs driven. And there's people that God has blessed, gotten back their marriage, gave them a second chance. And when they get it back, they don't have the love in their heart towards him because they don't see the love. They just feel like it was a favor or it's who God's supposed to be. And all of a sudden, there's no increased relationship. And 5 years later, they might not even be thinking about God and have no relationship with him to be back to complaining or doing the same thing he rescued him from. But see, God's not like that. You know what Jesus did? He just put Malchus's ear on. Looks at his disciple and in a sense was saying, what are you doing, Peter? You're acting like them. You've been with me all this time and you're still acting like them? We don't fight this way. Peter, put away your sword. If you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. What, shall I not drink the cup the Father has? The whole time he's correcting his disciple, he's fixing the guy that's on the wrong side of the line. Amen. He looks like an enemy. He's coming to take Jesus unjustly. Amen. He puts his ear back on. Never says a word to him. Corrects his disciples. They bind him and start beating on him. Amen. The world says he's passive. The world says that he's an enabler. The world says he's a doormat. It's not what your Bible says. Amen. Talk shows would tell him to stand up for his rights, to man up, to stop letting people get away with that nonsense. You empower them to just do you wrong and do you wrong again. No, love is sowing a seed. It's the greatest form of intercession there ever will be. Mercy's triumphing over judgment. And all of a sudden, you can't stop it. You put yourself in Malchus's shoes for just a minute, and it's not hard to understand. You have to have blood all over your shirt because your ear was just cut off. He wasn't trimming his ear. He tried to cut off his head. He just ducked. Not enough. So in the attempt to get out of the way of the sword, it clipped his ear and it fell on the ground. Don't tell me there wasn't blood all over his shirt. And there's a fixed ear. Can you imagine through the day? Think with me. You say this is speculation. It can't be speculation. Man, what happened to you? How do you tell the story? Yeah. The guy you're beating on? His buddy pulled out a sword and tried to kill me. I ducked. He caught my ear. See, I knew they were malicious. I knew that. Well, he was just trying to defend him, but he yelled at him for doing it. And he didn't even say nothing to me. He put my ear back on. Or he fixed it. Don't get in a theological mess, whether he picked the one up on the ground and put it on or made a new one. It's the same result. Don't get in a theological. Same result. Can you imagine? Every time they flog him and you're like, how do you run from that kind of love? Anybody can hold your ear and tell you what you shouldn't be doing. A lot of preachers have tried. How far does that fly? But I'll tell you what, this love is transforming. When you walk up to that man trying to get him in the car that can't get in with the hip that I used earlier, and you walk away and there's nothing in it for you, and he realizes it when you walk away, and he puts his guard down when you walk away because before that, he's wondering what you're up to. And about the time you walk away, he says in his heart, that was strange. There was no punchline. He didn't even try to sell me nothing. He didn't push for nothing. He didn't invite me to a church. He didn't even tell me where he went to church. It almost like he cared about me, like he was sincere, like he really, like what was going on with me mattered. It's almost like he loved me. And all of a sudden the Spirit of God come in his car because you just sowed the seed. You just watered some seed. All of a sudden increase is coming. All of a sudden the tangible presence of God come in his car. I could tell you testimonies like this. Tangible presence of God come in his car and say, I've loved you from the beginning. See, you tell a testimony nowadays of somebody getting healed on the streets, and a lot of preachers that are trapped say, yeah, healed. Well, did you lead them to the Lord? I say, well, I gave them the Lord. What are you talking about? Did I lead them to the Lord? I gave them the Lord. I didn't take them by the hand and try to, Lord. I gave them the Lord. Now watch. If I really gave them the Lord, then they have to deal with that. And now guess who's involved? Holy Ghost. And I think we probably ought to start respecting him a little more. Because he's not a goosebump. He sure isn't. He's amazing. And it's something that he just knows everything. I've found there ain't nothing he don't know. Oh. I've had people come back to me later and say, I'm sorry, I seemed so overwhelmed when we were talking. I wasn't ignoring you. It's just that as I was asking questions in my mind, you were talking and your speech was answering my questions as I asked them. And I was overwhelmed. I knew it was God. That's why I was so clammed up. And they cry and tell me how they had a God encounter. I could tell you countless stories like that. Why?
Because I'm just here to sow. I'm just here to water. I'm just here to be real and sincere and just love you from my heart. And guess what he's here to do? The rest.
And if they say, what must I do to be saved? Boy, that's sure scriptural, isn't it? That's all you see in the Bible. You see men displaying Christ and people falling on the mercy of God. You know what we've done? We went out to corral them. We're trying to get them saved. In that Bible, their lives got them saved. The minister's lives got them saved. They saw their lives and said, what must we do to be saved? Now, when I hear somebody say that, and I've heard a few say that, you know what I do? I do just what them boys did. I say, man, it's real simple. Just understand what you're doing. You repent. That means change your mind. You've been living for yourself. You were created for his image. I never preach it without water baptism, just like they did. And I said, now listen, that water baptism is a symbol of death, burial, and resurrection. And you're going to die in the likeness of his death. And when we get baptized, it's going to be for the removal of all your sins. And the old is going to die. And the new is going to come out of the water. Newness of life, resurrection power, Spirit of God inside. So here's the deal. We are not praying a prayer to go to heaven. That's what I tell them. See, that's everybody else out there trying to get them to heaven. If you're walking up a street, or hey, if you were to die tonight and didn't know where you were going. You want to know? Pray this prayer with me. And then you walk off, led five to the Lord. Then they come out of the bar with a woman that's not their wife. And another one of you runs up and they say, oh, no problem. I'm in good shape. I just prayed that prayer on that corner last week. Because we're not preaching transformation. We're just preaching go to heaven. Water baptism is all about transformation. The reason nobody hardly talks about water baptism is because we fought over it for so many years. Jesus' name, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Do you need to be baptized to be saved? Is it the blood? Is it the baptism? Next thing you know, we made up our own stuff because we can't agree because we're theological. And the Bible's simple. Believe and be baptized and you'll be saved. Peter said in Noah's day, there was 8 saved through water. We have this antitype which now saves us, water baptism. Not the cleansing of your flesh, the answer of a good conscience before God. Why wouldn't you want that? See, here's what I do. I don't tell you how to get to heaven. I tell you how you're going to get heaven to come into you. And then I'm going to tell you why he's so excited about that. And then we're going to go find water. I've baptized more people than I can remember in hotel swimming pools where I've stayed. I've done several in my bathtubs of my hotel rooms. But if there's water, we're going to find it. Last week and the week before, I was in churches. And I said, hey, you're out there right now and you heard what being born again means. And I'm not talking backslidden. I'm not talking rededication. I'm not talking just convicted about a fresher Christian life. You have never been saved. And you know it. You be a man and man up and run. And I just said man up. It was all men. These wives that have been believing for their husbands. These husbands came up just snotting and slobbering. And they're all standing there and everybody's freaking out and cheering. And I'm like, now you guys know why you're coming, right? You ain't playing. You're coming for new life. You've been your own worst enemy. You've been hurting everything you say you love. It's time to stop driving the car and give him the wheel, man. It's time for him to come inside of you. You guys are dying today. You understand? I look at them all. I said, I'm taking you to water. As soon as the service is over, we're going to find water. I'll work it out with Pastor. We're going to do it, man. And I'm going to put you under till the bubbles stop. So you better man up and be in faith, because when every bubble stops, I'll know you're dead. When I bring you up, it's going to be new life in Jesus Christ. And they're like, whatever it takes, man. And you know what we did? We took right off for the water. The last 2 weeks, we just ran right off to the water and baptized right in the water. We went down. They drove through all this high grass. These Arkansas folks, they don't care, man. They're driving through fields, you know. They say there's cotton mouths running around them places, around them creeks. They're in covenant. They don't care. They're just walking right to the creek. I like those kind of folks. I'm just following along. And we got all these men. I'm serious. It was so emotional. It was ridiculous. And we get down there into the creek. It wasn't even 50 degrees at mountain water, so it was cold. Whew, I thought we're going to freeze the hell right out of them, man. We're going to come right out of them. So I made sure they all knew what they were doing. It's so beautiful. Guy comes into the water. I said, whoa, and this is word of knowledge stuff. I said, before we baptize you, I need you to do something. I said, I need you to turn around and look on this bank. There's 120 folks there. Drove from the church on a hot day. Walk through all them weeds and down over them stones and them fallen trees to stand by that creek bank to celebrate with a man they didn't even know because he was visiting the church. Ain't that awesome? I said, I want you to see this. I said, that's what you call family, friend. This is people that care about you, your value, your everyday. He lost it. He said, I ain't never had no family. I don't have no family. I said, oh, you better look. I feel it. You are going to be my family. And they're all like, ah! It was like a movie. I'm like, that's it. Come on, get him in the water. Oh, Jesus. Oh, I'm messing up so bad. Oh my goodness, 5 after 10. Listen, man. See, you gotta laugh your way through this stuff. It's so sharp, if you don't laugh, it'll hurt. It's Holy Ghost, it's anesthesia. What even a doctor with an ounce of humane in him wouldn't put you under before he does the surgery. See, you've been cut tonight and you don't even know it. You've been laughing too hard. See, oh. Are you bleeding? You don't even know what's going on. Why? Because God doesn't want anything I'm saying to you to be so heavy that you get into works, get condemned. He wants you cheered on by the good news. And here's the good news. That's good news. Excuse me. I was really thirsty. Here's good news. No matter what man did from the garden on, God never lost sight of what He made man to be. God knows who every one of us is. He knows who you are. On your darkest, most deceived, even willful day, He didn't lose sight of you. So in the fullness of time, in due time, like a root out of dry ground, He sent His Son. Amen. Dry and thirsty land. Amen. He sent His Son. Why? To put on the likeness of sinful flesh and become what we were. So we could be transformed back into what He is, a son. Amen. So did He come because we're sinners? Or did He come because we were lost sons and daughters? And our value and our destiny and our heritage was lost, it seemed. But yet not in the sight of God. So He brought His Son through the womb. Get this. Come on. Either you get religious and get Easter Christmas with Jesus. Or you think and go, whoa. God of the universe put Himself inside the womb of a woman. Hung out there for 9 months. Come on. God of the universe. He must value us so much. He must know something about our potential and our destiny. He must know how vital it is for us to be transformed back into His image, that He would come in the likeness of sinful flesh so we could be restored back into the power of the Spirit. Amen. He was separated from God so we could be joined forever. He died so we never will. He must think a lot about people. And you think I'm going to have issues and He said, she said, and will that hurt my feelings? Not today, friend. Not now that I see and understand the gospel. Because God never said that to me. Yeah. Wouldn't that be something? You come to finally repent and God says, oh, it's you. Well, I've sure wooed you a long time. What took you so long to get here? I've been drawing you for how long now? I mean, even I forget. Come on. Can you even imagine? You know, it sounds hilarious. It ought to sound just as funny if those words were in our mouth. We're made for His image. And then He says, well, you've sure run me around a lot. You just keep me up and down, up and down. I get my hopes up and then you crush me again. Up and crush. I just don't know if I can live this way. I just think we're coming to an end. I just don't think this is good. I don't know. I just don't want to become so vulnerable again and just be hurt all over by you. Let me define what love is in the Bible. Love takes no account of a suffered wrong. Why? How's that possible? Because it doesn't seek its own. Now, friend, be real with me. We've reduced I love you to I need you. And we said, I love you. Do you love me? And when we say, do you love me? What we're saying is, I love you for me. I have this feeling that we call love towards you for what you do for me, how you make me feel, what I get from you. And if that changes, I'm either insecure, frustrated, or angry. And it's not even I love you. I love you means I see who you are, I know who you are, I know your potential, I see your destiny through Christ, and I'm willing to lay down my life and give every ounce of who I am to see that come to fruition and watch you flower and prosper in His presence. I will lay down my life for another. That's what love is. We say, no, brother, love's 50-50. Marriage is a lot of work. Marriage is I love you. Read your Bible. You say, you're telling me marriage isn't a lot of work? Marriage is I love you. If love is a lot of work, then I guess it's a lot of work. But marriage is I love you. Come on, there was a time in your life where you needed Jesus to be everything that He is. or you wouldn't be sitting here. Wouldn't it be good for you to be everything someone needs you to be in a certain moment? I think you got the point. So much has changed in our lives, and we're not to regret it and condemned over this. But be real with me. So much has changed in our lives because we've assumed rights, we've shut down, we've cut off, and we haven't been loved. So now that we get it, we ought to, in all our getting, get understanding and let the ship run straight by the grace of God from this day forward, huh? Right. Come on, you can't make up for yesterday. But you can sure become today, can't you? It's not about, should I be with him? Shouldn't I be with her? Should I have stayed with them? Shouldn't I? Yeah, but they're remarried. I'm not talking about all that scrambled eggs. I'm talking about in all you're getting, get understanding. And I'm saying now that you see, you run well. Because if you don't change what empowered you to do what you're questioning today, well, then you'll be empowered to do it sometime tomorrow. That's why repentance is so huge. Change the way you think. So I'm not trying to create a whole bunch of crazy stuff right now. I'm saying in all our getting, let's get understanding. And let's never be hurt by one another again. Let's lay down our lives to love one another and bring the best out of one another. Because if everybody knew who they were, they wouldn't be living this way. So why are you taking it personal? God didn't. He sent his son. His answer was sending his son. And his son's answer was, you follow me. Come on, that is so simple. So my days of being hurt and frustrated and angry with anybody is over. It's over. I promise you. You say, I don't believe you. That's your business. You'll find one day I was telling the truth. And if you got to wait that long, fine, but it'll be worth it. You guys with me? So this is what this weekend's all going to be about. Become in love. I'm going to hit some more stuff. I just kind of laid a foundation tonight. This 90-day thing, I'm all for it. I'm in agreement. But I don't want any of you just doing it because that's what your church is doing and that's what we need to do and feel pressured to evangelize. I want you to know you're on the planet to become love, and Holy Spirit is here to fashion your heart, cause you to see what he sees. And all of a sudden you're just pumping gas. And you just get a little impression, or you just your heart gets a little nervous, and there's somebody standing right there, and you feel like God's just noticing them in you, and you're like, oh no, this is that 90 day, they're right there. And just stop and say, wait a minute, this isn't compulsion. God, I'm very aware they're over there. I've pumped gas 100 times, 1,000 times. I haven't even thought about who was on the other side of the pump. Hey, how you doing today? Fine, do I know you? No, probably not, but I know you. Excuse me? Yeah. Man, listen. I used to think Christianity was going to church. Oh, well, I'm not interested. I'm not selling you Christianity. Listen, I believe this with all my heart. The Bible says there's a time to be born. And there you stand. Man, that makes you valuable to God. Kiddo, there was a time I had not even noticed you. But in all sincerity, I feel like I want to pray for you. I hope you'll let me. What's going on with one of your sons? Oh my God, why are you mentioning my son? See, because as you open the door, it'll just make sense. I could tell you stories like this. This lady's about ready to blow me off and thinks I'm soliciting her and I'm coming up with some 3-line method to... And all of a sudden, what's going on with one of your sons? In fact, it's your oldest son. How do you even know I have a son? You're freaking me out. Yeah, it's probably God's hoping to freak you out. He wants to show you that he's real. And about the time you keep talking, next thing you know, you got more and she's undone. Next thing you know, you got a crying woman at the gas pump who doesn't even know what to do because Jesus loves her. Yes. You follow me?
Yes.
It can be that rich and powerful. And all you did was just open a door and make some conversation without the fear of failing. Because love never fails. Amen. Or you ladies, you're so good at this. You ladies are amazing. I joke about this. You probably heard it on DVD because they record everything. I learned 10 years ago, 11 years ago, I learned that ladies talk in the ladies' room. See, that's so weird to the guys. Because the guys don't talk in the men's room. It's not cool. You're peeing. Like, you girls are in stalls talking. And you got potpourri and flowers and soft music. I don't know. But you're like, it's like a fellowship hall. I've asked around, and the lady said that's exactly how ladies' rooms are. So one day at church, everything was shut down, so I walked in the ladies' room because no one was around, and I went, it's true. It looked like a living room. I heard that kids will crawl from stall to stall and be with the wrong lady if they ain't even their mama. Hey, three stalls. Hey, Shirley, where are you? Three stalls down. Go past the next two legs. Go down. You know, and there's just heels, and you're just talking to the heels. So how you been doing? So is John doing good? You're so free. You girls are awesome. Here's what the guys do. You're talking. You go into the men's room, and you're talking, and you just shut up, and you just go... Guys, am I right? That's all the guys do. It's so weird. I'm different, man. I'll go in a bathroom. When that stuff gets too intense, I have to break it up. I'll go to the little tiny guys. I'll go to the baby urinal, man, the little guy. And I'll go, ain't this something, guys? And they're... They all get pee fright, so they're there extra long. When you talk, they stop going. So now you have a forced audience. I'm serious. Guys, help me. Am I telling the truth? Truth? So then you go like, listen, guys. This is just amazing. I always stick being the little kid, but I'm good with it. Jesus says, unless we become like little children, you'll by no means enter into the kingdom. So it works for me, guys. We ought to loosen up, man. And then I'll just go do what I'm doing. And they're all like, did he just talk? It's just fun, man. But you ladies are so good at this. You ladies are awesome. You could just be going through the clothing. And there's another face over there. And you're like, hi. You see, and then next thing you know, you see them wince or do something with their. And you notice it. Did anybody ever be out and notice somebody in pain? Notice somebody was not? You just slide over there. Hey, it's a pretty good sale. Yeah, I found it. Oh, that's so pretty. That's just you girls. That ain't you. That ain't your ministry slide-in strategy. That's just the way you girls are. Man, that's awesome taste. That color would look so pretty on you. I'm going to hold that up. Yeah. Whoa, wow. Really, you think so? Couldn't you talk like that with a total stranger? Does this stuff happen in the ladies' world? I got you girls so figured out, man. So see, you already have it already figured out. So how much harder is it in the midst of all that to say, hey, you know, I appreciate laughing with you and the colors and stuff, but I noticed something when I was looking through. I looked over. I saw you wince. You moved your arm. Are you hurting? Oh, it's the silly elbow. You know, it's like tendonitis. They said it's tendonitis. It just hurts me so bad. And when I'm going through these clothes, it's like so distracting me. And it's been here for weeks and it won't go away. Are you kidding me? Wow. Well, I noticed that. Well, listen, I was just wondering if you let me do something. Excuse me, do something? Listen, you're going to love it and it won't hurt a bit. Do you mind? And then she'd be like, what? And you just reach up and just take her. I said, that's okay. I'm not going to pinch her. Father, I thank you for your amazing love for her. In Jesus' name, be healed. Every bit of pain, leave. And she's standing there thinking, are you kidding me? She's just praying for me. She could be thinking a lot. She could be thinking, oh, how sweet. Or she could be thinking, she didn't ask me to pray. I wish she'd get her hand off my elbow. She could be thinking anything. But I know what you're thinking. Boy, she has value. God loves her. And I really like her taste of color. It's awesome. See, that sure beats, I don't even like her color. I'm just trying to butter her up so she lets me pray for her. No, you're just being friends. And all of a sudden you say, she says, well, thank you, I guess, or whatever. You say, no, I want you to check it, test it. Now, I know what we're all hoping for, right? What if you really get on this thing and you just start saying, you're going to love this? I say that a lot. It's a setup. Let me take your hand. You're going to love this. And I go, pray. And I go, oh, my goodness. So if she does this and there's no pain, man, I've seen it in a parking lot with a lady.
She's coming through. She had that tendonitis thing going on in her leg and cellulitis and some kind of thing. And her friend, she had it for like 8-10 weeks. And when I went to pray, asked to pray, we were talking and laughing. And then when I brought up praying, they got weird. And I laughed and I said, ladies, ain't it something? How we've been fashioned and how we've been trained to think. You had no problem with me. We were hitting it off and everything was great and it was all sincere. So I wanted to pray. I'm not pushing my beliefs on you, honey. But if I believe something and I believe something will help, man, why say no? Come on, I'm sorry people touch you wrong and push and shove. That's not who I am. I just care about folks. Look at me. I love you and don't even know you because I know what Jesus did and he loves you too. And she's like, well, is it going to take long? And the other girl's like, well, I hope it ain't going to take long. I said, honey, 15 seconds and I'll go catch up with my friends. Would you please let me? Give me the honor. I really care about this. She said, okay. So I prayed. And the other girl's like, fine, that was quick. Wow. You know, let's go. And I said, well, check it. She's checking it. She goes, ah. Friend says, don't even tell me. Now, don't even tell me. Now, you're not trying to tell me. She said, I'm telling you. Now she walks back and forth. Now they won't leave. Now, whoa, what'd you do? How's that possible? Well, you got a minute. And then I share the kingdom. Hug them, cry, bless them. Just head on. Watch. Can't be rejected. I'm not doing it for me. I can't feel bad. I don't have a formula that I can fail. I can't go away and say, what did I do wrong? I'm not weighing it by results. Their heart could be out of bounds. They might just need seed sown for a while, and they might accost the first three people that approach them. Doesn't mean you did wrong. And all of a sudden, somebody's healed because you stopped. All of a sudden, somebody's healed. You say, well, wonder if their arm still hurts. And they say, well, actually, it still really hurts. Well, listen, you take heart. I believe Jesus really loves you. And he said, if I lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. And I'm just bold about that. And you're special to him, or he'd never shed blood for all. So, Father, thank you for touching her and blessing her. And God, I thank you that this thing leaves because you're amazing. Have a great day, kiddo. And you walk down the aisle, and she's left with nothing but the sincerity of your love. Amen. You got it? Amen. I got to close. I am so late. I am really, actually, I'm later than this a lot, but I'm late. Let's do this real quick. We can do this quick. If you're sick in the room and you need prayer, stand to your feet real quick. If you're sick in the room, you need prayer of any kind, and you're sick, just stand to your feet. And you're not confessing sickness if you stand to your feet. Look, the Bible says, is any among you sick, let him ask for prayer. Somehow we got into that thing where, well, I don't want to claim it. I don't want to. You're not claiming it. You're saying, man, there's something in my body that I know ain't God, and I want it to go. Okay? So we got a little strange with that thing over the years where nobody could talk about nothing. So you go up to a brother and his head's splitting open with a headache and you say, how you doing, man? I'm great, man. I'm doing great. And he's like, ah, ah. And we call that faith. No, he should just say, man, I'm glad you asked because my head feels like it's cracking open and I know it ain't the will of God. God loves me, man. And man, pray with me because I know that can change. That's faith. You guys good with that? Let me see a show of hands real quick. I'll do this quick. Let me see a show of hands real quick that if we prayed for you tonight, and you were healed, there'd be no way to check or test. You wouldn't really know because of the condition. You'd have to have time to tell or you'd have, well, it wouldn't be sit long because I kept you sitting long. But you would need time to know if you were healed. You wouldn't necessarily know. There's nothing to check right away to know if you were healed. Let me see your hands. Let me see your hands. Keep them up real high. So you wouldn't know it if you were healed. There's no way to check, test. Let me see. Keep your hands up. I'm going to do something with you guys. I'm going to pray a prayer of faith over you guys, okay? And then I'm going to teach you something real quick, and I'm going to have you all sit down, but everybody else, I want you standing up. So the rest of you, if you were healed, you would know it, right? Okay, okay. So the people that wouldn't know it, leave your hands high. Look around, church. If you're sitting near one, just touch one. Just touch somebody with their hand up high that wouldn't know. Father, we just thank you for the humility that stood tonight. We thank you for your children. We thank you for people, God. Father, even if they stood up and don't even know you, it doesn't change a thing. You sent your son to love them, to heal them and restore them. And I pray that you do a major work in their life tonight, starting with their bodies.
So bodies, you be healed. Every infirmity and every sickness, you leave this room right now in Jesus' name. Father, these people with their hands raised, I thank you right now for changing the situation. I thank you for making things strong where they were weak, making them move where they couldn't in the sense of time, endurance, ability. There'd be no wear down, no breakdown. I thank you, God, no fatigue in the middle of the day. I thank you, no migraines returning. I thank you, blood sugar's normal. I thank you, proper insulin. I thank you, no effects of diabetes. All these things that seem hidden but are apparent, God, I thank you that they're swallowed up tonight by your Spirit through your love. In Jesus' name, I pray for healing all through this room. And I thank you, God, that these situations change, that word comes back even to this house, from the people of this house to the pastors, that man, starting that night, there was change because of the gospel. Not because Dan Moeller was here, not because he prayed from the front, because I stood up in the hearing of the gospel and I believed God loves me. Now, if that was you and we prayed and your hands were up, your hand was up, lift your other one with it right now and just do this with me. Say, Father, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you heal and you restore all things. I rejoice in you and I receive your love in Jesus' name. Amen? Okay, there's no way to check you, so grab your seats quick. Everybody else stay standing that would know if they were healed. I know I'm doing this very fast. Are we okay? I know I'm way out of the time thing, but I know some people had to leave. It certainly wasn't my preaching. It was way too good. You just don't walk out on that kind of preaching. It's just because of the time. You just got to go. It's just too good. But I'm just kidding. Yeah. So everybody that's left standing would know if you were healed. You'd be able to check and tell, right? So because we're going to do 90 days of power and love, we probably ought to pray for the sick here and teach and train and just grow in faith a little, right? So who's going to help me? Who's part of the army? Who has the Spirit of God in them? Bunch of folks. Listen, you people that need prayer, raise your hands one more time for me real high. Don't put them down until somebody claims you. I just want one-on-one, just till we have everybody covered. I want somebody to go grab somebody. Don't do anything yet. Don't pray yet. Just go grab them real quick. Just claim them. We'll do this as a house. Let's do this as a family. We're going through a little mini school here. And I know some of you are well equipped and trained to pray and you could already pray. But for the sake of the whole, just hold back and stay humble. Okay? If you're claimed, put your hand down. Only leave your hand up if nobody claimed you so we get everybody. Put your hand down if somebody claimed you. Do we still need somebody over here to get you? Is it Rick? Oh, I was paying attention. I got the Holy Ghost. Woohoo! Somebody get Rick there. You're going to claim him? You claiming Rick? Okay, now listen. Do this in 5 to 7 seconds, okay? And then give me your attention. You guys are so good. You're like the best ever, seriously. Do you hear how quiet it is? It's never like this. There's always people already praying. This is awesome. You see how orderly this is? And watch, it's going to almost feel dry. It's on purpose. Because you ain't going to have this rock and worship team with you at the gas pump. But there's music inside. You got 5 seconds, 7 seconds. Please give them the short version. Don't say, well, when I was 3 and then build up to now. Tell them why you stood. Give them the quick description of your condition. Tell them what they're praying for. Just unless it's super personal and you can't tell them, just tell them it's personal. But most of you can tell them. Just tell them real quick. And as soon as you find out, quit talking and look back up here. Okay? Explain why you need prayer and what you need prayer for. Jesus' name, thank you. You guys got it? Does everybody know? Is there anybody uninformed? Is everybody in the know? Is everybody good? Oh, you guys are the best ever. I don't know what this means, man, but these guys are amazing. It's never this easy. This is awesome. Okay, now here's the deal, and I'm not being controlling. I'm doing this on purpose. I'm giving you 20 seconds to pray. There's a couple reasons. Some people think it's their prayer that heals. It's Jesus' finished work. In fact, if you think it's your prayer, you're in big trouble. Because you'll just try to pray better, pray harder, pray more. Did anybody ever realize this, that when they were praying for the sick, they got more conscious about what they were saying and how they were saying it than God's love and his finished work through Jesus healing them? Did anybody ever relate to that? I know I could put both hands up. So I've learned this stuff firsthand. We get very self-conscious praying. Keep your prayers really short, especially if you're in public on this 90-day thing. See, the whole goal of 90-day, let me just talk plain for pastor, is that after 90 days, it's just so exciting, it becomes your lifestyle. We're not going to take off a jacket after. We're not going to say, whoo, got the 90 days, and we're going to say, pastor, you need to repent, brother. Why'd you call this 90 days? This is lifestyle, buddy. Right? You need to tell him that. So they say, this is just who we are, right? But that's their goal. That if they could step you into this river for 90 days and God could begin to fashion you and walk you through 90 days of just walking in love, that after 90 days you realize that's what you are. It's not what you're doing. It's who you are. Make sense? Okay, now you guys got 20 seconds to pray, and that's not legalistic, and Holy Spirit doesn't mind. I was in a service 2 weeks ago, and at the same time, two tumors disappeared right on the spot. 4 weeks ago, a paralyzed arm for 4.5 years came alive in 20 seconds. I never prayed. I just turned the people loose. You know what God was saying? I'm in you, people. I move when you pray. You have authority. You have my name. You're equipped, you're ready. These signs follow those that believe. Right? So we're seeing a lot of cool stuff, but here's the deal. I'm giving you 20 seconds. It's on purpose. You don't want to get self-conscious, and you have to learn that when you're in public, people are under pressure. You're there to bless them, not impose on them. And if you start praying for them, and I even try to be inconspicuous for their sake at times, if you can perceive that they're uncomfortable. I don't just say, so Lord of God, I'll just pray right now. And you know, you're in the mall and they're going, oh my God, he's nuts. And they're like, why did I say yes? I asked that you stretch your mighty hand down. And, no. I say, listen, man, can I just pray for you? Nobody will even know what we're doing. Sometimes I'll stand and keep talking with my eyes open like I'm just talking to him, won't even touch him. And just pray and say, check yourself. Like, whoa. There was a lady, there was a manager in a Walmart that was cynical with me when I wanted to pray with her. Had a big knee brace on. Heard it skiing. And I said, I just wanted to pray for her. She said, oh, yeah, and it's going to just get better, I guess, huh? And I said, well, that's the plan. And she said, look, I'm a manager, and I don't want you touching my knee. I said, don't have to touch your knee, honey. I just have to care about you enough and see your value through Jesus. It's faith works through love. I said, you don't have to do anything to receive this. Just let me pray. And she said, well, you know, and I said, listen, I'm just going to pray from here. Nobody even know what we're doing because you're a manager, and nobody, you'll never even get a question about it. Or why'd you let that man pray for you? So, Father, I just thank you right now. You love her so much. And God, I see it through Jesus Christ. I know you love her. You never died. Knee be healed. And I just prayed. I said, check your knee. It has to be easy to check. She cried in 30 seconds because her knee, she couldn't find nothing. And she was cynical. Now, if God was religious like we preach him, he'd have been sitting there with his arms crossed saying, fat chance you're getting healed, girl. You need to change your attitude. Maybe his love's designed to change your attitude. Maybe it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance, not the frustration of God. Okay, so we're going to pray for 20 seconds, so don't put yourself on the clock. I'll take care of the 20 seconds. You just pray from your heart, okay? And then I'm going to stop y'all, and here's what I want to do. I want you guys to begin to check yourselves no matter what it was. If it was a deaf ear, if it was an eye that couldn't see clear, if it was something you could test, if it was a torn rotator cuff, if it was degenerated cartilage in your knee and it was grinding, I need you to start checking whatever makes sense, okay? And check it. Some of you have learned to live protective and not hurt and do certain things. I'm not asking you to be foolish, but begin to do something that would go past that boundary to really test and see what God's doing. I've watched God do that so many times where people are afraid to move and then they're like, oh my. We've seen the whole neck fuse. What is there, 7 vertebrae in the neck? The whole deal cemented and watched people go like this more than I can remember. But you know, some people say, well, if I turn my neck, it's going to really hurt. Well, you got to get them to at least turn it to that point where they know it should be starting by now so that they can go past that because they've learned to live in that pain. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. So we're going to give you 20 seconds. Then I'm going to have you guys check your bodies, and then we're going to ask who was healed. So the people that are healed, I want you to testify. We're going to ask who was somewhat healed and who didn't receive anything. You say, Dan, that ain't faith. No, that's what we're going to ask. I'm going to ask those three questions. So if nobody fits the categories, I'm still going to ask the questions because I want to teach something, okay? So wouldn't it be awesome if we all just pray and everybody's just completely healed? We still have two topics to cover. Who's ever prayed for somebody and they seen them somewhat healed? Who's ever prayed for somebody and didn't see nothing happen? We probably ought to talk about this stuff in a positive, truth-filled light so we can go on in faith and not draw back, turn tail, and run. True? Because what hinders people the most? Wonder if nothing. Isn't that the big question? So let's release faith right now and get the ball rolling here. This is a good, safe, healthy environment. It's called family. Now listen, when I ask you who was healed, I don't want you saying the right thing for the sake of the people that prayed for you. I read in Revelations, if you lie, you fry. So I don't want nobody exaggerating, okay? Listen, it'll do the people praying for you no good if you say, oh, I'm better, and you're not. Because do you think they want you better? Or do you think they just need to hear you say you're better so they go home happy? Come on, we really want you better. So don't exaggerate nothing, okay? I want you to be honest. You guys ready? Do you all know why you're praying? You got your person? You got 20 seconds. Go for it. Jesus' name. Thanks, Papa. God, thanks for what you do in this room. Thank you. Thanks for encouraging your house, your people. Thanks. Thanks, God. Thanks, Papa. Jesus' name. Thank you, Papa. God, I thank you. Yeah. Thanks, Papa. Jesus' name. Okay, guys, start checking your bodies for me. I didn't even give you a real strong directive of prayer, but you guys sure took off and started praying, so that was good. Because sometimes we'll just say, knee be healed. Who knows that be healed in Jesus' name is probably enough when we understand. Check your bodies right now, people all through this house. Check yourselves. Check that area of your body out. Really check it good. Talk to me. What's going on? Is anybody changing? Anybody? What happened? Do you feel change? What's that? The ankle was healed? What was wrong with it? A lot of pain. When they prayed, was the pain there? Was it real easy to find? Yeah. Yeah, before they prayed, it was you could feel the pain pretty easy. You have none at all right now. None whatsoever. That's awesome. That's good. Who else? Check. Yeah, that's a great thing. Anybody else? Check your bodies out right now. Talk to me. Wave your hand. What happened? Okay, that went away. Okay, but that pain left the head when she prayed? But you feel relief there. Amen. Anybody else? Talk to me. Who's feeling healed right now? What's going on? Talk to me. Okay. A lot looser, really tight. Does it feel a little bit tighter yet? A little bit tight yet? Or is it all gone now? You feel it changing. It's really cool. Yeah, I can see that. What's going on? So it's not there, and it's always there. Crohn's disease. Seen that healed several times, and it was bad cases. So we're going to do something. Say, bear with me. I know it's late, but this is important stuff, okay? Because I want to teach something out. Who else feels healed, feels this thing left, and feels changed? I need to see who you are quick. Who else? Okay. Not all the way. Anybody else feel somewhat healed? Who feels somewhat? Just shout it out real quick. Okay, somewhat. What percent? 60, 70? 50? 50? You're just feeling better. Who else? Who feels all the way healed? Anybody else? Did I miss anybody that's all the way healed? I already got those people. Anybody else? Okay, somewhat healed. We got some somewhat. A lot of somewhat. What?
I have a bad hip, and I felt the warmth in the prayer in my hip.
Okay.
I don't have the pain. I know that there's part of the damage, but I know that the pain is...
Okay, here's what we're going to do now. Who prayed for you?
Mike Massett.
Where is he? Mike, I want you to get back up here. We're going to pray again. I know you got your little girl and it's late, but I want you to pray that that...
Well, the other thing is that there was other things that were happening. I have Barrett's esophagus and a couple other things, and I feel more comfort there.
So you feel changed in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Let's just pray for a finished work and that all that cartilage is restored because God will put it there. You got some what?
Got some mobility in my shoulder. I have frozen shoulder.
When you say frozen, what was your limit? How high? What do you mean frozen?
Well, I still don't have
okay. It feels like it's moving more?
The pain is less.
So you weren't able, you can't just go up in the middle of your back.
Well, this is going to be awesome. We're going to pray for you and see that thing loosen. Raise your hand if you feel somewhat healed, real quick. Bear with me, guys. I know it's super late. Raise your hand if you're somewhat healed. The person that prayed, if you're still here, grab them real quick. This is going to be awesome. You're going to like this. And you know what you're praying for. Complete restoration. Thank God for what He did and thank God for wholeness, okay? Thank God for complete restoration of that shoulder. Completely loosed. That Rick's shoulder bends, flex without limitation. Pray right now, everybody. The people that had somewhat healed, raise your hands so the people can find you. And then you pray them through. Just one more time. You're not pleading, you're not begging. Be completely whole. Pain, go completely. Every trace of the stroke, you leave. Total looseness and liberty in the neck, in Jesus' name. Simple like that, okay? Now, yeah, take her hand, man, and just thank God that not one symptom of Crohn's would ever be found in her body again, and just thank Him for healing you, okay? And that that thing will never come back. In Jesus' name, check your bodies, guys. We're doing some more. Check your bodies for me. Okay, what changed? Anything else? Get better, get changed anymore. Talk to me. Anybody can testify. I know something's already shifted, but did we get some more or complete healing in anybody? Check yourselves. Did that loosen at all? Is it? Is it definitely? Is your wife, is that moving to you a lot more? Good. Just put your hand on it again and just pray right now. Say shoulder. Be completely healed. Total mobility. Total flexion without limit, the way God made you. Serve Rick in Jesus' name. Thanks, God. Check it for me one more time. Thanks, Papa. Thanks, God. Thanks, God. You don't have to force it. Grace will let you do it. Don't force it. Where's it at? I can't see you. Is it changing at all? Thank you, God. Anybody else feel change? Anybody since we prayed the last time? More? Good. Anybody else? You did? The second time we prayed? Good. You did? So it got better yet. See, this is encouraging, guys. It's not getting better because we're hyping the atmosphere. Do you actually feel how dry I made sure the atmosphere is? I just got you guys praying and loving and believing. Now, let me do this real quick, and I know I lost a lot of folks tonight. But who felt no change when we prayed? Nothing changed when we prayed. Lift your hands up. Thanks for being honest and being humble. Lift your hands high. You felt no change. This is the one we don't talk about enough. And this is why a lot of guys and people and ladies won't step out and pray because they're afraid of, wonder if nothing happens. Here's the deal. First of all, the people with their hands raised. A cynical person thinks this is a cop-out. If you understand the word, it's never a cop-out. Faith is not a point in time. It's not a hit, miss, win, or lose. Faith isn't, did God heal, didn't God heal? Faith is, He loves me and He restores all things. Do you understand what faith is? Faith is a position of your heart to believe what He accomplished. You don't turn on and turn off. You don't say, wow, I wonder why I didn't get it. You say, Father, I thank You for loving me and what You're doing in me. God, thank You for surrounding me with faith and hearts that care. And most of all, Your love never fails. God, thanks for making all things new. So the Christian always only has one response. Love, relationship, and thank You. And speaking life into that situation. So when you go to bed at night, you're not confused saying, why did some people get healed and I didn't? When you go to bed tonight, you say, God, thank You that You're healing and restoring and people's pains left. And I'm excited because You're Jehovah Rapha and You love me. And I thank You, Lord Jesus, that You're doing a great work in me through Your finished work. God, I love You so much. And you go ahead and go to sleep in that place. You see what I'm saying? But we're going to do something real quick. You didn't see any change when we prayed. Raise your hand high. I need to see who you are. No change whatsoever. Somebody grab them real quick. Give me 5 more minutes, please. Grab them and ask what they need prayer for. Just say, why are you being prayed for? And then you pray directly into that situation. In Jesus' name. Okay? Ask them and then go ahead and pray. Take your liberty. Pray, because I know I held you up here really late. In Jesus' name, be healed. Father, I thank You for moving all through this house. God, I thank You for doing a good thing. See, it's not hard to love people. Just because you're in church, don't make that the reason. We're just releasing simple faith. It's no different with any person on the earth. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank You, God. Thanks for bringing change in this house. Thanks, Papa.
Thanks, God. Check your bodies, guys. Check your bodies. Those of you that said you felt no change. We're going to release you in faith. Anybody that doesn't have complete change. Come on, I know something changed in somebody. Check yourselves right now. Did anything change in anybody? The people we're praying for. Give them a chance to check themselves right now. And pay attention. Help work with me so we can dismiss here. Something shifted? Yeah, so that didn't budge at all the first couple times. So this time it started changing. That's encouraging. Here's what God teaches us when that happens. It doesn't mean you have to pray and pray and pray. It means you never change your position of belief. Does that make sense? And be honest, what we've done over the years is we change our position of belief a lot based on results or lack of results. So that's a good lesson learned. Anybody else feel change? This guy said he felt nothing until that time. What happened? Much better. So something changed much better. Anybody else? What happened? What? What was it, bud? So you don't have the same sensitivity and it doesn't feel as sore as it did. That's awesome. And I appreciate you standing and believing God, okay? Now watch, when you go home tonight and get away from all of us, you just say, Lord, thanks for loving me. You're making all things new. Thanks, you take away every pain. Learn to talk and be real personal like that, okay? And just watch how He keeps growing inside your heart, all right? It's awesome. What? Okay. Okay. Anybody else? Did anybody else raise their hand and feel some change? Okay, the people that didn't feel change, here's what I want you to do. You got one response. You leave here and thank God for the faith, for loving me, for doing what you do with me. God, thanks for making all things new. Go to bed that way, wake up that way, we live our life that way. I could tell you, I know you believe me by now, a lot of stories, keep you here a long more time, just talking about stories of people leaving meetings that were prayed for, that walked out of the meeting and things shifted and changed. Or by the weekend, just being changed. So let's let faith be the position of our heart. Do you guys get it? Okay. Pastor, if you need to close, I know I was really late. I hope I didn't run you off for tomorrow night. But I'll let Pastor close us out.